This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyron looks. Tyron on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He all comes through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins. Touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy. Touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive in our One Buffalo studio in the front end of the AdPro Sports Training Center. John Murphy, Donald Jones here on... We're not even in the first full day into free agency, but there's an awful lot to talk about, right? You're bouncing. You're excited,
aren't
you?
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on right now. A lot of surprise things. Crazy stuff in the middle of the night, you know, Instagrams being hacked and all types of stuff. I don't know what's going on.
Garoppolo, that was a wild story.
I woke up this morning like, what is going on?
That was nuts. We'll talk about all of it today on the show. We're also going to hear from some of the Bills free agents. As you know by now, they, of course, have the restructured contract for Tyrod Taylor. He met with the media. We had him on our show yesterday, but he met with the media here at One Bills Drive yesterday. We'll hear some of Tyrod's comments coming up on the show today, as well as head coach Sean McDermott. The Bills announcing the free agent signings yesterday, and we've got a couple of them on the show. We're going to hear the news conferences, and in the next few minutes here, we'll hear from the three who have signed with the Buffalo Bills and get their thoughts at the news conference, and then we'll get them... Two of them in the studio with us, Micah Hyde and Mike Tolbert, will join us in studio for one-on-one interviews. So that's coming up today, along with the their official news conferences, their introductory news conferences coming up moments from now. And we got a special guest in the other room, in our auxiliary studio, I guess you'd call it. You've heard him on the show before over the last few years. He has developed his website, SpotTrack, where they do salary cap and salary information for all sports. And Mike Jannetty, from right here in Orchard Park, New York. Mike Jannetty is standing by. We're going to go to Mike a couple of times during the course of the... There's Mike right there if you're watching on the simulcast. Mike a couple of times during the course of the show today to get his thoughts on some of these deals that have already been made and maybe some real-time analysis of the free agent market. Hopefully there are some deals. We'll get to Mike in a minute. Hopefully there are some deals that we have a chance to analyze.
That we're on the air.
That'd be fun.
That'd be cool, right?
Yeah.
Breaking news on the John
Murphy
Show.
Breaking news, yeah. Well, we've had a week of breaking news already. Mike Jannetty is going to be with us. We're going to hear from Mike Tolbert, and we're going to hear from Micah Hyde. We will hear from the podium in a couple of minutes with Jordan Poyer, and we want to hear from you. Phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Our Twitter poll is up. We are in day two of free agency, and our Twitter poll deals with what's to come for the Buffalo Bills. The announcement yesterday with the free agents who signed yesterday. So you would think the first wave of free agency is over. We all understand that the Bills don't have a ton of cap room remaining, but what position should the Bills target next in free agency? If you were the GM, what would you look at to fill out the roster next for the Buffalo Bills? Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-552-550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. The Twitter poll, what position would you like to see them fill out next? And our Twitter poll is up and running, and so far, the early return, 670 votes in, 79%, pretty overwhelmingly, 79% say wide receiver, 9% say depth on defense, 8% say offensive line, 4% say quarterback. What position should the Bills target next? Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Pretty clear from the Twitter poll, Donald, that people see a crying need at the wide receiver spot.
I think so. I mean, you look at it, who do you have on the roster aside from Sammy Watkins? Anybody? I don't know. So, yeah, there is a – I mean, look at it, 79% right now. There is a huge need at wide receiver. Not only for the fact that you don't have anybody under contract, but the fact that, you know, Tyrod Taylor really needs help. He needs guys who he can trust, guys who he can rely on, who he feels like he can throw the ball into those tight windows that we talked about yesterday. So hopefully they bring some guys in here that are ready to make plays on a daily basis and can also play in the weather and deal with that here in Orchard Park.
At the right price, right? That's the key.
Has to be at the right price. I would think – you know, there's still a lot of receivers out there that you're going to be able to sign on a decent contract, you know, and not really have to pay a lot of money. But then this is also a wide receiver heavy draft, right? So I would think you're going to have a mixture of some veterans, some key veterans that you don't have to pay a lot of money, plus some good draft picks.
Bills still have needs that they're going to have to address here in free agency, and they addressed some of them with the signings announced yesterday at 4 o'clock. And to recap what they've done, we're going to hear from some of these guys today. The biggest deal, to my mind, is Micah Hyde, safety, a versatile safety who has played nickel corner. He's played some cornerback. Good size, 6 foot, 197-pounder, 26 years of age. Micah Hyde is a guy, Donald, that I think you can probably figure on plugging right into the, especially with Aaron Williams gone, plugging right into the lineup and playing right away. Micah Hyde, I think, is really one of the key signings that the Bills will have, I believe, in this free agent period.
I think the biggest part of signing Micah Hyde is the fact that he's so versatile, right? So he's played, he can play safety, he can play nickel, he can play corner. So he's a guy who you can really plug in at any position, and he can really help out. I think he also can help you in the return game. So they haven't been able to sign. They haven't signed Brandon Tate yet. You're going to need somebody to return kicks for you, you know, and that's something that he can do as well. He's returned punts and kicks in his career. I think he has 3 career touchdowns on punt return. He doesn't have any kickoff returns for touchdown, but he has like 814 yards in his career total and kickoff return yards. So he's a guy who you can really plug all around the field, and he can help you and be a key contributor in every aspect of your game. So it's exciting, man. I think he's a huge pickup.
Big signing for Micah Hyde. Mike Tolbert was signed. He didn't never hit the free agent market. He was a street free agent. He was signed a couple of days ago, but he'll be on the show with us today. The fullback, versatile fullback, running back. Looking forward to hearing from him. He's got a interesting background, Mike Tolbert does, and a popular player at every stop he has made in the National Football League. People just love this guy as a teammate by all reports, Donald.
He really does look like a human bowling ball.
Yeah,
in that
right?
picture we're looking at right there. And I want to talk to him about a couple of his nicknames in the past.
Yeah.
Because he has some interesting nicknames that they called him back in Carolina, things that they called him in San Diego. His parents gave him a few nicknames. So it's going to be interesting to talk to him about that.
Mike Tolbert will be in studio with us from the podium. We expect, and this guy's got an early flight out of town after his visit to the podium today. But Jordan Poyer, who is a 4-year veteran, Oregon State, who has spent some time in the league last year, 6 starts with the Cleveland Browns. He was signed to a contract yesterday, 6 foot, 191-pounder, played a little bit in the league. I don't know what to expect from Jordan Poyer. Obviously, the Bills need numbers back there at safety.
I mean, you obviously need numbers back there at safety, but I think he's a guy who you would probably think would be a special teams contributor mm-hmm. on this team. And we know that special teams are huge. We know with the special teams coach, Coach McDermott, I mean, it's a big need. You got to have key special teams guys, and I think that's where you would look at him to really make an impact.
So Jordan Poyer is a guy who is signed to the Bills. That announcement came yesterday, and he and Micah Hyde were names that we had not heard of. We talked about some of these others yesterday because there were reports that they had signed. Vladimir Dukas, offensive lineman, signed with
Big
the Bills,
Dookie.
Bounced around the league. You worked out with this guy. You
Big
know him
Dookie?
A little bit.
I know Big Dookie. Donkey yeah. Kong. Yeah, I know. Yeah, man, I trained with him back in New Jersey. So it'd be – I haven't seen him since then, which was, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. You know, so it'd be interesting just to talk to him and see how he's doing family-wise and all that stuff. We really used to mess with him when we were training. Bart Scott and a bunch of the guys who were older, they always mess with him, especially that time we went to pole position and he was in the go-kart. It was hilarious. I'm telling you. And I'm going to talk to him about it.
Yeah, tell us that story again. I don't know if everybody heard
it
yesterday.
This dude is like – he's like 6'5 or something.
6'5,
like that.
325 on paper.
Right, on paper. So he's 6'5, 320. And we go to pole position, which they have down at the Galleria Mall. And they had these little small go karts. And he's in the go kart and he really looked like Donkey Kong. So that's when we started to call him Donkey Kong because he had his knees hanging out the go kart. It just looked crazy. Like, dude, you really shouldn't be driving this thing.
Dukas not in town yet today, and he won't be at the podium, but we'll get a chance to talk with him most likely next week. Fullback Patrick DeMarco officially announced with the Bills, agreed to terms yesterday. 34 starts, played with Atlanta last year. Interesting guy who I think fills a lot of needs and a pretty versatile performer on offense. I look for him as a pass catcher almost first, Donald, in this new Buffalo offense.
Yeah, Patrick DeMarco is a guy who, you know, he can, even if needed at running back, I think he could do it, you know. So he's definitely a pass-catching fullback. And in this offense, this zone scheme, you're going to need a guy. You're talking about Tyrod Taylor and a lot of play action, getting out on the move, especially down in the red zone. He can catch passes for you and score touchdowns. So it'll be interesting. He obviously is coming up from Atlanta. So he's coming up from that winning mentality.
Yeah.
He knows how to get it done, and I think that's needed as well in this locker room.
And the last signing announced yesterday is the kicker, Steven Hauschka, who has spent the last several years with Seattle. Hauschka with a pretty good track record. Not only does he handle the placement kicks, but he can handle kickoffs. And as we talked with Chris Brown yesterday, that takes a lot of the pressure, I guess, off Bills special teams and off roster building when you know that you don't necessarily have to save a spot for a kickoff specialist.
Yeah, last year you had a kickoff specialist and you had a field goal specialist, you know. So that's two roster spots that you don't really have to eat up now. Now you have one guy who can do it all, and you can use that other roster spot to fill in another need that you know, to fill a hole somewhere else, which it can be wide receiver, DB, whatever it is. You know, at the bottom half of your roster, you're always playing around on game day. Who's going to be up? Who's going to be down? Now you can play around with different guys, and you don't have to play around with two kickers.
Big. That's big. And a good, reliable kicker so far. We'll see how that works out. Hauschka not in town yet either, so we will not hear from him today. So, again, those five announced yesterday. Well, Tolbert was announced a couple of days ago, but Micah Hyde, Patrick DeMarco, Mike Tolbert, Vlad Dukakis, Hauschka, all Buffalo Bills now, the first wave of free agency. And we want to hear from you about the next wave. That's our Twitter poll. What would you like the Bills to do in the next wave of free agency? Keep in mind, not a whole lot of cap space left, but still some needs. And the early returns on the Twitter poll, 670 votes in. 79% of you say wide receiver. 9% say more depth on defense. 8% say build up the offensive line. Just 4% say quarterback. Give us a call, too. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. Let's get a couple of calls in on this. Greg in Rochester. Go ahead, Greg. You're on the air.
Hey, listen to your poll. I think what the Bills need is a large playmaker. I was listening to Sale this morning and by some of their moves. Sounds like the Bills are doing something different where they're trying to do maybe two tight end sets and get bigger against, the NFL's kind of gone the way of a passing nickel kind of league. Maybe they're trying to create mismatches with big targets. It's the fact that the Bills were supposedly in on Martellus Bennett, maybe still are, means I think they have money for a splashy pick. He's not going to be cheap, and if they were going after him, they must have money allotted to go to that position. If he were to go elsewhere, maybe O.J. Howard becomes the player in the draft that they go after, but that's possible. But I would also think a second big receiver is a need. Two names that jump off the page to me. One is Pryor, who's still out there. I know he's big money, but he's only got one suitor with the Redskins as far as I can see, and maybe they can get something done around 8 or 9. I think that would be a fair deal. Or another guy that would be a huge risk and people are talking about that's still out there is Josh Gordon. He is a huge playmaker, maybe the best wide receiver in the league, and he's out there. It could be a risk. Maybe you sign him to a deal, but that's what I'm looking for. Tyrod alluded in his interview with you that he's taking less money so they can get a big playmaker back there. I think they're looking for one more big splash. I'd like it to be a tight end or a wide receiver that creates mismatches around the field and then go defense in the draft.
Greg, yeah, it sounds like a plan. Can they get that done given their cap situation?
I wouldn't touch Josh Gordon with your hands. I just wouldn't bring him in here. He's had way too many issues. You can find other playmakers out there in free agency, and you can find other playmakers in the draft. You know, do we need wide receivers? Yeah, you do. Terrell Pryor, I think he wants big money. I don't know if he's going to be able to get it or not, but he definitely wants big money. And you have to take into account, you don't know what's going to happen with Sammy Watkins coming up here, right? So if you sign a guy like Terrell Pryor, it has to be on like a 1 or 2 year deal, because at some point you have to start negotiating with Sammy Watkins if he's healthy enough or you want to extend that contract. But going into it, I would think your mindset is we want to be able to extend Sammy Watkins, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to want number one wide receiver money, which we know is way up there right now, and the market is going up every single year. So you have to be smart about the guy who you sign at number two and not give this guy $12, $13, $14 million a year, because then you can't afford Sammy Watkins, right? So I think you have to find another guy out there or two guys that can really fill that void, but you definitely need to have a big guy who can get down the field for you but also can run routes. He talked about the tight end position as well. I think in this scheme, the zone scheme, you need to have two good tight ends that can stretch the field. There's a lot of play action. There's a lot of movement on the line side to side, right? But then there's a lot of play action down the field, and you need two tight ends that can get down the field for you or can help you out in max protection. So I think that's why you start to hear different rumblings about tight ends that can get down the field. Martellus Bennett does want money. There's also been rumblings about Jared Cook from Green Bay. Yep. he's probably another guy who's going to want some money. I don't know how much he can get out there on the open market, but I think they do need another tight end.
Here's a call from Toby in Buffalo. Hello, Toby. Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to know why Lorenzo Alexander isn't more of a priority. With these big-time quarterbacks that we're facing this year, we need that guy coming on the other side to put pressure on him. And he hasn't really played. I know his age, but I'm talking about wear and tear. If you look at overall plays on the field, he doesn't have that wear and tear or injury history. So I think he would be a great signing with us, and I don't know why they're not making that more of a priority. He's one of the guys who performed awesome on the defense.
And what makes you say he's not a priority, Toby? Yeah. Because he hasn't signed in the first 20 hours of free agency?
Well, no. I was saying it was just the way that the coaches were talking and the way they were saying, hey, we're going to go let him test the market and stuff like that. I figured they would make it more of, hey, we really want you. We got to work out a number.
I mean, I don't know what their thought process is, but you got to understand that they're changing over to a new system. Maybe they don't feel like he can help out in a 4-3 type of scheme. Now, we all know he can help out on special teams. And so if you have a guy at his age, regardless if you feel a certain way about his wear and tear, if you have a guy at that age, you really don't want to spend top money for him, right? So what you do is let him test the market. If nothing happens, the market now settles down a little bit where you can come back and say, okay, you tested the market. It didn't happen for you. You didn't get what you wanted to get. Now, this is what we're offering. Do you want to come back to Buffalo? I feel like that's what they would do with a guy.
I have
like
a feeling they're going to get Lorenzo Alexander done here.
They probably
do.
Yeah.
At their price, what they can handle, but I have a sense that's going to get done, and I don't think you're going to have to wait too much longer to do that. But again, we're operating, just as we go along. It is a real time thing, this NFL free agency. We're 20 hours into it, and stuff changes in a hurry. The Bills, of course, made their big move a couple of days ago with the restructured contract for quarterback Tyrod Taylor. We brought in a cap specialist, a contract specialist, not just for the NFL, but for Major League Baseball, NHL, the NBA, soccer. He is a local guy. What's
Matt?
He does a lot. I asked him.
It's a lot of numbers.
We were doing the pre-show stuff in the other room, and I said, how do you keep track of all this stuff?
I'm telling
you. He does a great job of it, though. Mike Jannetty, co-founder, editor of SpotTrack.com, the website that's the source for NFL contract and salary cap information. He's over in our control room keeping an eye on his laptop on some of the deals going on around the National Football League. Mike, great to have you in here today. Donald and I thought you were the perfect guest for a day like this when the landscape changes pretty quickly.
Yeah, John, this is great. Great to be here.
Mike,
Are
you like Adam Schefter, man, like waiting on your phone to ring so you can hear new contracts coming down the pike?
That's way too high praise.
If you want to look like Schefter, just borrow somebody's cell phone, pick up two cell phones, hold them up, and make it look like you're getting text one after another.
Maybe a nice wig here, too.
Hey, Mike, I want to get people familiar with what you do at SpotTrack, and I know a lot of our listeners have heard you on the show before, but tell us about the website, how you got going with it, and where you get your numbers from on all this contract information.
Yeah, sure. So it was really just a fun internal project that myself and my cousin started 8 years ago now, and really just a reference thing for us to be able to kind of see where these numbers were going and coming from and all that, and really with baseball and football kind of picking up steam in terms of how big these contracts have gotten, it kind of took off around the 2011 season. So I've dedicated pretty much my full time to it at this point, and it's pretty much a functioning business for myself. And it's expanded tenfold, annually in terms of, activity from the media, from users coming to the site, from, things that we're doing with the site in terms of building different tools and various trackers and things like that and valuing players going forward. So it's been a ton of fun. It's been a lot of work, but, it's something that, myself, I love doing every day. I'm addicted to this kind of thing. I'm a numbers guy, so this is fun for me. I know a lot of people get a lot out of it in terms of being able to see the numbers in this kind of a format. So I appreciate doing it, and I appreciate all the feedback I get from, the people out there.
How have the teams reacted, and how have agents reacted to what you do, especially your new features like your market value and things like that?
Sure. So positively, I think – for the most part, everybody understands that, I'm not an official, official source. I'm not the book on this. I'm tracking, numbers that are confirmed or official out there and putting them in my own terms, my own database. So it's, there's a good relationship between myself, teams, agents, media, things like that in terms of how my numbers are structured and put together. But it's been positive. I've been able to, do some small work for teams and some – some valuations and things like that for players. So it's been fun for me. I think a lot of people are getting a benefit from it. I think I've heard a lot from agents in the past couple of months around free agent time about, you know, valuations I've done for their players and how maybe that varies, or if I'm spot on, or how did I get to my number, things like that. So the feedback's been positive, and I'm happy to help out any way I can.
Mike, it seems to me your value to agents and maybe some teams would be the in one place, the collection of data. So you can make cost comparisons, right, from player to player, look at playing comparables and compare the money from player to player. Do you think that's fair to say?
So that was the thing. That was why I really started this. This data was kind of pieced together, you know, everywhere throughout the internet, or, you know, people talking about it on the radio. And I wanted to become, you know, one source, a streamlined source to have everything in one place. And then from there, we're able to build on it, right? So if I've got stats and I've got contract numbers, then I can meld those two things together to turn, you know, valuations forward and start to value these players in real time. And that's kind of where we're going right now with the site.
We're with Mike Jannetty. He is the co-founder and editor of SpotTrack.com, the website that deals with contract issues. And, Mike, let me get you talking about the Tyrod Taylor contract. And we should first point out that these are not official Bills numbers, even though you're situated right here in our studio in One Bills Drive, right? These are what you've heard about this deal in particular. Some of the others deals around the league, you have hard numbers. But so has anything changed in the last half hour? Do you have any hard numbers on Tyrod's contract yet?
No, nothing confirmed in terms of how the cap is structured, but based on the cash flow that was provided yesterday, I've got a pretty decent feel for, you know, a cap number of about $9.7 million for Tyrod this year, and, you know, upwards of $18 million next year, just based on how the cash seemed to lay out. So it's a small deal for sure. It's less money for him. It benefits the Bills in terms of cap figure this year. So there's positives and negatives to each side of it, but I think it's still a team-friendly, player-friendly deal.
You know, Mike, how often do you look at these deals from both sides of it, from the team side of it? And I'm talking not just the NFL, the NBA, NHL, MLB, all of that stuff, and the player side of it, and say, why'd they do that deal?
A lot. You know, it's gotten better. It really has gotten better. You know, 3-4 years ago, you know, I was still kind of new to the situation, so I didn't have a good feel for too much of the intricacies, but as I've become more adept to it, and I think teams as well, I think teams are really starting to latch on to how this cap structure has to work on a year-to-year basis. It's gotten a lot better. Every now and then, you'll see a contract come through, and, you know, either I'll have to tweet about it or write an article about it just to kind of break down, you know, just how crazy it might be in terms of cash or things like that. But it's gotten a lot better, and I will say this: I think in the past few years, he's taken some heat, but I think Doug Whaley's done a nice job with, you know, being fair to the team, fair to the player in terms of the major contracts he's put together.
Well, on Tyrod's deal, and you said he's taken less money. So under the contract they negotiated and signed last August, Tyrod's cap hit was going to be like $15 million or so this year.
Right.
They got it down to $9.7 million, again, according to your numbers, nothing confirmed. That's a pretty significant relief for the Bills' cap. That's pretty team friendly. Obviously, it almost doubles next year, but, you know, the Bills still at $18 million will probably be paying the going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL next year.
Yeah, for sure. I have to think that the cap reduction this year had a lot to do with Tyrod's restructure altogether. You know, certainly he took, you know, a big cash reduction as well. I think somewhere up there, it's like $13 million less. So it was a cash savings. It was definitely a cap savings. And, you know, you come back next year with an $18 million cap figure. Maybe he restructures again, you know, if he's the quarterback going forward, and we reduce that, because almost all of that is his $16 million base salary. So that could be restructured, pushed ahead down the way. So it's a nice setup for this year. It's an okay setup for next year. You're still not, you know, upwards of $20 million like a lot of these quarterbacks are around the league. So I think it really works out for the Bills.
Hey, Mike, when I was actually playing, I was very good friends with some older guys in the league, and one in particular, Bart Scott. He would always say, I don't know why guys want to take these 5-year deals. Why don't they just start to take 2-year deals or 3-year deals and keep on redoing that deal? You keep on getting signing bonuses because nothing in this league is secure. You do a 5-year deal, they're probably going to ask you to either redo it at year 2 or 3, or they're going to release you. So he would always say, why don't they just start doing 2-year deals? And you and I talked about this back in the office. So what's your thoughts on that?
I think he was a man ahead of his years. I think that's where the really good financially structured teams have been going, mm-hmm. and many are already there. You know, the Patriots stand out. You know, Tom Brady has never signed a maximum, you know, long-term contract. He signs short, quick, money-grabbing contracts for him that keep his cap number low, and it's just a rollover process, right? So really those five-year, $100 million deals are for the newspapers, you know, right. or for the blogs these days. They look good. The agents love to push them out there. They love to say, you know, that, you know, X amount of dollars is guaranteed when, you know, guys like me who dig into the deals know that's generally not the case either. So, yeah, the short, quick, you know, high cash early, you know, keep the cap hits kind of low deals, that's where I think these major positions should be going, quarterbacks, wide receivers, cornerbacks, things like that, which makes a deal like Stephon Gilmore's kind of head-scratching.
Yeah, definitely. The major positions, quarterbacks, receivers.
Yeah, all right. Hey, the one thing that strikes me on this topic, so Tyrod has done essentially what Brady has been doing, and not only does he get the cash up front, which is obviously important to a player, but it also gives the team relief and allows them to build around that player, whether it's Brady in New England or Tyrod Taylor here in Buffalo, correct?
Right. It's always a moving piece, right? So if you're not locked into 3, 4, or 5 years on a player, then everybody knows that, you know, there's going to be a 1 to 2 year deal. You're going to make your money now. We're going to do it again in 2 years, you know, based on because the team around him is changing too, right? So a guy like Tom Brady, he's going to have to be flexible with whatever happens around him. So a deal like they've done with Stephon Gilmore, that's going to put a damper on their salary cap for the next couple of years. That's going to be a big hit. So, you know, you're going to have to see players moving to make account for that. So it's a moving wheel. Every team has to deal with this every single season. And to Bart Scott and Donald's point, I don't understand why these long-term deals are still as popular as they are.
All right, we're going to keep Mike around until the 3 o'clock hour. We'll get back to Mike Giannini in a couple of minutes. He's the co-founder and editor of SpotTrack that keeps track of NFL contract and salary cap information. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of deals around the league to talk about, including some more for the Bills. Want to hear from you as well. The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. And we're a couple of minutes away of joining the news conferences over in the media room across the way from some of the new free agents. We're going to hear from Jordan Pryor. We're going to hear from Mike Tolbert. We're going to hear from Micah Hyde today, and they're also going to get a couple of them in studio with us. So a lot coming up. Your phone calls are always welcome. Donald and I in here until 3. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back. Donald Jones, John Murphy, live from One Bills Drive on a cold, blustery day in Orchard Park, New York. We thank those of you tuned in on the radio side on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Those of you following along on the video side on MSG, Donald and I are here until 3. We're going to talk a lot more with Mike Giannini from SpotTrack.com, who is really keeping an eye on the free agent numbers. And we're also going to hear from some of the free agent side, including running back. I'm going to call him a running back now. Mike Tolbert, who's going to be at the podium. We'll pick up that news conference live in just a second or two here. Is that all right if I call him a running back?
I think so. Yeah, because it might help to silence these two fullback tweets that we keep getting.
Yeah.
At least I keep getting.
Yeah. Mike Tolbert's going to be at the podium. We'll get him in studio. Micah Hyde will be at the podium. We'll get him in studio. They will also have Jordan Poyer. Right? I got the name right?
Yeah, you got
I don't
it.
Know what, I have some sort of mental block about that name. I called him Pryor earlier. We'll have him from the podium and not in studio. He's going to catch a quick flight out of town. So all of that coming up today on the show, including more cap analysis, including the news of the day. In the meantime, squeezing a call here, Jose in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jose.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just a quick question or a statement. I don't know. I tend to respectfully disagree with Donald over there about Terrell Pryor, because if you listen to McDermott.
Hey, Jose, hang on just a second. Can I hold you up? Because we want to pick up Mike Tolbert at the podium. So we'll put you on hold. We'll get back to you in a second. But Mike Tolbert is at the podium right now in the media room.
You ain't heard it from me. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Mike, just talk about this, the chance to come here, but be reunited with Sean.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, one of the sole influential reasons why I decided to come here. You know, he's a great guy. I know his mentality. I know his mindset. I know the type of coach he is, the type of man he is, you know. And I like being around positive things, and he's a positive guy, so.
How obviously, I mean, calling Sean the sole reason, you know, you came here, how much interaction do you have with him, being that you're on the offensive side of the ball and he was underneath? And what really struck you about?
Well, I've actually had more than usual, I would say, interaction with him. You know, his wife and my wife are really good friends. You know, it's something that I call the Breakfast Club, where myself and a couple other running backs would get up early in the morning and go work out. And he was always in there working out with us, you know, so we connected that way. And, you know, just being around each other, we got to know each other a good deal. And, you know, he called me. He was like, I need you. I want you. And I'm like, I got you. So
one of the things that Sean said yesterday to us was the fullback is a big part of this offense here.
Yes, sir.
So obviously that's going to be appealing to you, but it's not – a typical thing that's said anymore in the NFL. So can I kind of address that and
true
how you see it?
Well, you know, like you said, this is going on my 10th season in the NFL, and the fullback has slowly been dying out. You know, you get a guy like Coach McDermott who believes in us. And, you know, he not only brings in myself but also Patrick DeMarco. You know, so it's something that we can help benefit, you know, really bring value to the position, to the team, you know, with our versatility, you know, helping out on special teams, doing that type of stuff, you know, the grit and the grunt work. So.
And how much of it is, you know, you got LeSean McCoy there and mm-hmm. know, trying to open up and help the holes and make it help him out to be successful, but also the other elements of pass protection and so forth. What? Give me a breakdown of your assets.
Well, I mean, I like to call myself multifaceted, you know. You like that word. But, you know, I feel like I can run the ball. I can block, obviously, because I play fullback at a high level. I'm a great pass catcher. I can pass protect. You know, I run routes. You know, I play special teams. I do it all. You know, I'm a versatile player. And Coach McDermott has seen that in the past 5 seasons in Carolina, and that's one of the big reasons I think he brought me up here, other than, you know, being a great dancer and the leadership stuff that I bring to the locker room. So,
why is it comfortable for you, though, Mike, to keep guys loose in the locker room? Why does that come naturally to you, and why is it important for a team?
Well, I think it comes naturally to me because, you know, my upbringing, you know, I'm a product of a single-parent home, you know, and I had to kind of make myself jolly to get by sometimes, you know. So I think I just exude that on everybody else around me, you know, the joyful attitude, the lighthearted spirits, the pranking, the joking and playing around. And, you know, I think it's necessary for a team because at times, you know, when things not going your way, you know, you can kind of get down on yourself. And you need somebody to kind of poke you in the butt and say, hey, let's go and have a good time with it. So.
You mentioned DeMarco there. Were you aware that the Bills were you know, potentially going to sign him when you were going through your negotiations with the team? Because, you know, to have one fullback is one thing, mm-hmm. to sign two is maybe a little bit more unusual.
Yeah, I was aware. I mean, like I said from the beginning, you know, Coach McDermott's been very upfront with me and very, very persistent in what he's been saying and consistent with it. So, I mean, I was aware that, you know, there was another fullback on the radar. But I'm not a guy to dwell on what other people do on the football field. I know what I can do, and I know I'm here ready to work, and I'm going to compete. So.
You said he's been up front with you. Have they given you an idea of what kind of role, because you've done running back in, mm-hmm. do you see yourself as more of one or the other?
I see myself as a football player, you know. So if Coach McDermott and Coach Dennison, you know, if they want me to run the ball 10, 15 times a game, I'll do it. They want me to go plow into a brick wall head first on the goal line, you know, so Shady can get in the box, I'll do it. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I just want to play football. I love playing ball, and I'm doing that in upstate New York now. So.
Because of your familiarity with Sean and the fact that you've known him and the fact that you have an established reputation as a leader and a veteran, do you feel an added, I don't want to say weight of responsibility.
No pressure.
But the fact that you can introduce your new teammates to what Sean is doing.
I don't feel any added pressure because what his philosophy, his mentality is the same thing that I have. You know, so I'm just gonna go be myself. and me being myself is going to translate to it going on to the rest of my teammates. You know, I'm not here to take over the team or become the quote-unquote spokesperson or team captain. I'm just here to play my role, play my part, and have a good time doing it, you know. So,
Mike, obviously this is new for Sean as a head coach, and mm-hmm. no one really knows what that's going to turn out to be, but you were around him long enough to observe the kind of guy he is. Mm-hmm. Tell me why you think it's going to work for him as a head coach. What were some of the biggest takeaways of Sean, the man, the coach?
Well, I mean, he's a guy that says what he believes and believes what he says, and he makes sure that you feel it when he's talking to you. You're going to know from the passion and the emotion that he brings out that he really wants the best for everybody around him, you know, and that's something I have to give tremendous respect to. And as a coach, you know, he's tough, he's hard-nosed, you know. I used to joke with him all the time because where we were in practice, you know, he was standing right in front of the running backs in practice while the defense was taking their reps. And I was like, hey, coach, you got to move, man. I got to see too. He's like, it's my drill. And I was like, so? You know what I mean? But, you know, it's one of those things where he's a very tough coach, but at the same time, he knows what he's doing. So I'm not worried about him at all.
Cross paths at all with LeSean? Do you know him in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah. I've hung out with him a couple times. You know, my wife's from San Diego, so I've met him in LA a few times. Played with him in the Pro Bowl. You know, so I mean, one of my really good friends is from Philadelphia, and he's from they're really good friends now too. So we've been around each other enough to know. You know what I'm saying? Our ticks, you know what I'm saying? Know what drives each other. So I think I can push him.
Mike, in terms of your connections inside the Bills locker room, outside of Sean,
mm-hmm.
Do you know who you close with at
all? Nobody really, other than LeSean McCoy. I've like I said, hung out with him a few times. That's pretty much it. You know, my running backs coach, Kelly Skipper, you know, Jim Skipper was his dad, was my running back coach in Carolina. So I see so much similarity in them already that I can tell it's going to be a fun year. So,
Mike, was there a moment or maybe something that made you realize when you were getting to know Sean that one day he could make this step and become a head coach?
Well, I saw the intensity that he brought, you know, and the respect he commanded from his team. You know, his defensive players from day one, you know, when I stepped foot in Carolina in 2012, you know, so being able to command that type of respect from, you know, players like Thomas Davis and Charles Johnson, guys that has tremendous respect in this league, and they give it to him freely, you know, that's a guy that can command a room, command the locker room, you know, can take charge. So I knew sooner or later he was going to get an opportunity, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Carolina, where they were when you were there. I know you had a couple good years there, but that to a Super Bowl.
Whoa, a couple?
Yeah, first to start off, I mean.
Oh, okay.
And then you went to a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And then you had a 20-year last year as a team, though. But what did you learn as a player through that process about, you know, maintaining that level, so to speak?
You know? Well, I think, you know, as a team, you know, we learn that nothing's given, everything's earned. But, you know, that's in the past. I'm a Buffalo Bill now. But, you know, as a player, you learn how to go through adversity. You know, you learn that it's days that you don't want to wake up and get there at 6:30, but you don't turn the snooze off because you have to do it, you know. It's a way that we feed our families. It's the way we take care of our livelihood, you know. So you sometimes you got to do it even if you don't want to. So.
And Mike, just on that topic, how did you see Sean – deal with the highs of going to a Super Bowl and that defense that he had, as opposed to what happened last year where injuries really and you know, Josh and Norman leaving, how did he handle those? How did you see him handling both those years, you know, coming in back-to-back years kind of thing?
Well, I think he handled it well, you know. He, like I said, he stuck to his guns. He knows his team, you know, so he knew his team. He knew what we were capable of, you know. And he's just like us, adapting to adversity. He had to do the same thing with Josh, You know, he did a great job. I mean, obviously we didn't have the type of year we wanted last year, but it built us for bigger and better things, and he's proof of that. You know, we had a bad season, but look at him now. You know, he's here ready to, you know what I'm saying, help this franchise go to another Super Bowl.
It's a real thing, Mike, here. And it's talked about often. He's talked about the success that you've tasted.
Mm-hmm.
The fans really want a playoff berth. Coming here, obviously, it's not squarely on your shoulders, but what have you seen just in maybe talking to Sean, coming here, knowing that there is something that's kind of hanging over this franchise for quite some time?
Well, I think from talking to him and Mr. Whaley, it's more of a mentality thing, you know. Coach McDermott brings a certain type of grit and mentality, you know, and I think that's going to translate down to the players. It's going to make us fight that much harder. It's going to make us appreciate every moment, because you never know when your time's up, you know. So,
Mike, what's been your favorite touchdown dance you've done?
It's been a lot. I would say I don't even remember what year it was. I was in Carolina, and I scored a touchdown in Minnesota. And I did, like, a bowling thing with the football and dropped on them. I think that's where I got the human bowling ball nickname from. And that's stuck ever since, too. So that was one of my favorites.
Sean talked a lot about when he got – the job here, remembering the game, playing here in Buffalo, and how crazy the fans were. I know it's been a few years. Do you remember anything about playing here in Buffalo at all, or the reputation even of the fans around the league, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody knows that Buffalo is one of the most football fanatic cities, you know, in the country. I can remember my rookie year, 9-10 years ago, we were playing the London game, and so we came to play in Buffalo from San Diego, and like, they were like, the fans are sitting right on your neck. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm a rookie. I'm like, okay. So you just getting screaming and screaming and screaming. And I'm just turning around like, man, will you leave me alone? You know what I mean? But then, you know, it's all part of it. That as you learn, you grow from it. It's all part of the game, you know. I love fans. The louder the stadium, the better I feel like I play. So. Okay. All right. Thank you, y'all, man. Appreciate you.
Mike Tolbert, Bills fullback, running back. I told you, we're going to call him running back. We'll get him in studio here in a couple of minutes, too. And we've got more coming up from the podium as well from Micah Hyde and from Jordan Poyer. All of that coming up on the show as we continue on from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones from One Bills Drive, where the free agents are in. We're going to hear from Micah Hyde in a moment or two. We're going to hear from Jordan Poyer in a moment or two. We just heard from Mike Tolbert. We're going to get Mike Tolbert on set here in a couple of minutes. We have Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack, the co-founder of the website that deals with NFL contract and salary cap information. Mike Jannetty is in the control room where he is monitoring NFL free agency. Mike, welcome back to the show. And a couple of moves already in the 53 minutes we've been on the air so far today, right?
Yeah, the wheel is turning here. Couple of releases, couple of signings, things across the league that might be notable here. The Browns have officially released Robert Griffin III to add to their ridiculous amount of cap space. And the Saints have announced three big signings. They're bringing in wide receiver Ted Ginn from the Panthers. They're bringing in Larry Warford, a guard from Detroit, and they're bringing in Nick Fairley back on a four-year deal. So they're making some moves as well. And Julius Peppers is heading back to Carolina where he started. Wow. Sounds like a one-year deal. Could be a final hurrah for him, but he'll be back there on the defensive line.
Julius Peppers, man. The fact that he's still even playing is crazy. But I remember he was a guy that got franchised. He made some ridiculous amount of money. Then he signed a huge deal in Green Bay, or a big enough deal in Green Bay. I was like, this dude is getting paid, man. Yeah. He's working the system.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, the Browns thing, we don't have time to talk about it here, Mike, but eventually in the show today, we have got to have a long discussion about what the Browns are doing with Osweiler and what the Browns are doing overall. This is it's like you're seeing the baseball analytics guys totally take control of an NFL franchise. I don't know if it's working or not, but it's interesting to talk about. It will be today, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of money involved, and I don't think they're done by any means. either. So it's definitely a discussion to have.
All right. We'll get to that, of course, as the show moves along. We're here until 3 and a lot to go, including news conferences from some of the free agents. We'll get Mike Tolbert and Micah Hyde in studio with us and more from Mike Jannetty. Come on back for more. 1 hour down, 2 to go. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive on day 2 of free agency. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where it is day 2 of NFL free agency. The Bills introducing some of their 5 free agents that they agreed to terms with yesterday. Already at the podium, we've heard from fullback Mike Tolbert, who signed a contract actually on Wednesday. Still to come, we'll hear from safety Micah Hyde and safety Jordan Poyer. The Bills announced the signing of a couple of others yesterday, including fullback Patrick DeMarco, guard Vladimir DeCoste, and kicker Steven Hauschka. Mike Tolbert scheduled to be on the show with us in a couple of minutes, as will Micah Hyde, and we'll keep you posted on all the Bills free agent news. Around the league, things still happening with Brock Osweiler's trade to Cleveland. The number one topic, everybody waiting for the other shoe to drop. The Texans are going to trade Brock Osweiler to Cleveland to take Osweiler's $16 million guaranteed salary off Houston's books. Cleveland will also get a second-round draft pick and a sixth-round pick this year, second-rounder next year. It is expected that Cleveland will spin Osweiler to another team. In the meantime, the Browns just announcing that they have released quarterback Robert Griffin III. Cowboys still expected to trade Tony Romo rather than releasing him. The Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans regarded as their trade partners. Patriots. Cornerback Logan Ryan has agreed to a deal with the Tennessee Titans, a 3-year deal worth $30 million. Disarray in Washington, where the Redskins fired GM Scott McLaughlin after 2 seasons on the job. The move followed an offseason of speculation about his future in the organization. And late yesterday, the Bears officially released quarterback Jay Cutler, ending his tumultuous 8-year span in Chicago. Buffalo Sabres and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight in Columbus, the first game of a home-and-home series between these two teams. Face-off at 7 o'clock today. The two clubs will be back at it tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at KeyBank Center. Jack Eichel on an 11-game point streak right now. With the point tonight, he would tie Mikael Granlund's 12-game streak for the longest in the NHL this season. That was way back in January and February. Sabres at Columbus tonight at 7 o'clock. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. The John Murphy Show continues on from One Bills Drive. We are presented by Napa Auto Parts and awaiting a news conference. We believe Micah Hyde will be next at the podium. Mike Tolbert will be coming on the show with us, as will Micah Hyde, and we expect to hear from all of these free agents before the next couple of weeks or so. Our Twitter poll is up, and we'd love to hear from you on that. You can ring us up at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. It deals with the Bills and free agency. We are, 21 hours into free agency? The Bills with those 5 signings yesterday, Mike Tolbert the other day. The first wave you would think for the Bills is over. What position should they target next in free agency? We've got 1,700 votes in so far, and 78% of you say wide receiver should be the next target for the Bills. 8% say offensive line, another 8% say defensive depth, and 6% say quarterback. Everybody wants a wide receiver, Donald, and some people want one of the big-name wide receivers. I don't know if that's realistic, you know, based on what they have in the cap and where they are right now.
I think you have to be smart about where you're spending money right now. I think you have to. There are a lot of names out there where you're not going to have to spend the big money. I don't know, Terrell Pryor, if you're going to have to spend big money to get him or not. Obviously, he hasn't signed yet, so I don't know, you know, what teams feel about him or not. But there are a lot of names out there that you can bring in that can really do some work for you, and you won't have to pay them big money. And then you can draft one as well, you know, and let one of those guys battle for the number two position and prove that they can be the number two receiver to complement Sammy Watkins.
Speaking of receivers, you came across something on Twitter just a moment ago about one of the Bills' own unrestricteds, right?
Yeah, so I guess Pro Football Focus or Talk, one of those two. They have Justin Hunter is going on a visit to the Patriots. So, you know, I guess that's very Patriot-esque of them. They like to bring old Bills players over to New England. Listen, Justin Hunter is a good he's a good red zone target. Obviously, he had, 4 touchdowns for us last year in the red zone, and I think that's something that they would look at, you know, having a bigger receiver. It's really starting to look like the Patriots are looking at receivers, and I don't know what that's saying about the guys that they have on the roster. I would think an Amendola would be somebody who they might be trying to move. Maybe we can talk to Mike about what his numbers are, because I know he got paid to go over there. He's probably taking some pay cuts over the last couple of years, but it seems like somebody's going to be moved out of there. They're looking to bring in a receiver. We heard about Brandon Cooks possibly for Malcolm Butler. Now you're talking about Justin Hunter going on a visit.
All right, so Micah Hyde, all dressed up, is at the podium across the way in the Bills media room. The safety signed by the Bills from the Green Bay Packers. Let's listen in to Micah Hyde, Bills safety.
So tell us what it was that drew you to this situation. I mean, obviously, besides the numbers working out right in the contract.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think first off, just talking through my agent, the respect that Coach McDermott and the Whaley family had for me. I've always said that once I had the opportunity to get into free agency, if it would come, that I would want to be respected and put the numbers aside. I felt that coming into it, and it's a blessing to be here.
What type of role have they discussed with you? I know you've moved around and played a lot of different positions. What role do you envision for yourself?
You know what, we talked a little bit, shortly earlier, and basically just whatever I can do to help the team. They know I'm a versatile guy, and I can do a bunch of different things, whether if it's return, safety, corner, nickel position, whatever it may be. I'm here to help the football team, and I want to win. And I know that's the culture that's being built around here, and definitely looking forward to it.
What did you get out of the 3 or 4 years in Green Bay, and the highs that you went through, and lows, and the fact that Aaron, tweeted out to you yesterday and gave you a big good luck to you?
Well, I think that just goes to show, the atmosphere there was close, and I'm starting to feel the same thing here. Talking to the coaching staff, and they're relaying the message down to the players that have that playoff mentality, and we want to win. We want to stick together. We want to be helping each other day in and day out. So I definitely feel that coming here. But in Green Bay, just we are close. It's Green Bay. There's not much to do but be close with your teammates. So I think that's what put us over the edge.
Versatility has really defined who you are as an NFL player. So you've obviously embraced that, but explain how that has come to be. Doing these different roles, keeping it all straight in your head. What's it like to be you and being able to do all these different things?
Yeah, well, I think it's a blessing and a curse. I may say, whoever may say, just because it's a blessing. If someone gets hurt, I can play different positions, but it's a curse because some people think that I'm not great at one position. But where it started, it's just I've done it my whole life. Growing up, small town, playing every position on the football field in high school, not coming off the field, and then that kind of translated into college, playing, corner and being a returner, and then in the league, kind of doing the same thing. So it's nothing new to me. You guys might see it as, it's something that I've developed over the last couple of years, but it's something I've done my whole life.
Didn't you split up a lot of meeting time? I mean, you bounce around to a lot of different meeting rooms, unlike other teammates in Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think it slowly got to the point where I was kind of the middleman. Because obviously the coaches are their coach, but to be on the field is a different aspect. So I was on the field with a lot of different guys, a lot of different teammates, and to be that guy, the voice of reasoning between the rooms and stuff like that, because sometimes you need that. So I was able to provide that, and that's something that I definitely took pride in.
Micah, you and Jordan both coming in here kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
Both of you guys are pretty versatile players in terms of different roles and stuff. Do you think that kind of sheds light on what the expectations are going to be for you guys with respect to the defense and what you're going to have to
do 100%. Just talking to him briefly, that being able to play different positions is key in the defense that we're trying to put through this season. And it you might be lined up at one position, you might be lined up at safety, but you might be playing different techniques, and you got to be able to do that. And I think that's my game. That's what I've done throughout the years, and I think I can't speak for Jordan, but if he's had that same conversation with the coaches, then I would like to think that he would take pride in that too.
Is it kind of unique that you two guys get to come in together to kind of learn this thing in much the same way with probably similar type roles? What might be the benefits there, having somebody to bounce things off of as you both learn it together? So
well, we can learn from each other. I think that's the best thing. I make mistakes, he'll learn from them. He makes mistakes, I learn from him. So And the funny thing is, we have a mutual friend that's, you know, pretty close to both of us. So, you know, we kind of knew each other going into this whole thing. And it was funny to see it pan out this way. And, you know, I'm looking forward to playing with him.
Micah, so if someone called you on the street and said, what position do you play? How do you answer?
I'm a defensive back that returns punts. That's that's what I do.
You've thought about that question before.
I have. I definitely have. I've been asked that plenty of times, and I've said nickel, and then I'm just like, wait, no, maybe say no. So it's kind of I don't have an exact answer for it, so just defensive back.
Well, I know you said it's kind of a blessing and a curse. I understand that, but the way the game is played today, does it seem like there are more guys that really can excel that have your skill set because of the matchups that offenses try to create with the hybrid tight ends? And
yeah.
There's more room for guys like you on the field?
For sure. I agree with that 100%. You know, sometimes when you're being critiqued and stuff like that, people might see it as a curse. But I agree with you, man. I feel like if there's guys on the football field that can, you know, in the secondary, or not even just secondary, whether if it's a linebacker that can, you know, cover, you see those linebackers coming out a lot. But, you know, guys that can play different positions and play them well, you know, coaches are going to make room for them on the defense.
You talked about a mutual friend with Jordan. Anybody, you know, we might know, or
Christian Kersey for the Browns. I played with him at Iowa, and he played with the with Poyer at the Browns for multiple years. So he actually stayed with me out in San Diego too. So it's kind of, you know, we got to know each other through a mutual friend, and it's kind of brought us here to Buffalo today.
How familiar are you with what Carolina was doing on defense under Sean? And I mean, how? Are you aware of, you know, I'm not sure if you guys played them at all or kept track?
Oh, we did. We played them a few times. But at the same time, just having to talk with them, talking with some of the coaches upstairs that, I got a better understanding of what might be coming for the upcoming season.
Well, so to expand on that, what's your sense of how this thing will work or just picture in your mind and where you came from under Don Capers to this? What are some of the core philosophical things that you've picked up?
Well, I think that it goes along with any defense in the league. Obviously, when you create turnovers, that's key. Tackle well, play fundamentally sound football. Not give up any big plays, any big runs, anything like that. Make the offense earn, you know, what they earn points or, you know, earn yards, whatever it may be. But I just think that it's you can go to any defense around the league and say, you know, we want to tackle well, we want to create turnovers, but it's just a matter of doing it.
You're coming from a team that has a tradition of winning to a team with the longest playoff drought in the NFL that, you know, has struggled. Coach McDermott has talked about changing the culture here. How do you see yourself fitting into that?
You know, I'm just going to do whatever I can to help this team win, whether it's play different positions, be in the locker room, trying to help guys on and off the field, bring us closer. You know, that's just what I'm here for. Try to be a leader, try to be, you know, a voice of reason, like I said earlier, between rooms or between positions or whatever. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm so excited for what's coming and what I can bring to the table to help this team win.
And you come from Green Bay, though, where they have Aaron and they had Sam on the other side of the ball. Guys have been there who are more vocal leaders. Are you more of that? Will you be? What's your style of leadership?
I can't necessarily answer that question, say I'm more of a vocal, because there's times where I've had to be a vocal leader. I think perfect example was last year when I had to go, into the corner room because we were young. You know, I think second year guy was the oldest in there. So I had to go in there and kind of be more of a vocal leader. And, I think that sometimes coaches are put in bad positions because they're not on the field with the players. You know, so I think that, you know, I was able to, once again, be the voice of reason to the young guys. So sometimes it's that vocal side, but sometimes it's just doing it by example. I think throughout the year I developed in Green Bay to be that leader, whether if it's player council guy or a player representative for the NFLPA, just stuff like that. You know, whenever guys have questions for me, I'll try to answer. If I don't have the answer for them right away, I'll go find the answer, whether if it's on the football field, wherever. So I think that's where I can help guys.
Michael, what other connections do you have inside the Bills locker room? Players you might have played with or guys you know?
I've definitely heard, the NFL is a fraternity. You know, guys, we were just joking upstairs, you know, back in the day, guys wanted to tear each other's heads off and not talk to each other after football games. But now it's different. You know, we go out there and compete, and then, you know, you got a good friend that knows, that's, you know, good friends with this guy and knows this guy. So everyone, you know, hears about each other. So I've heard about a lot of guys on this football team, and I'm eager to go to work with them. But I play with Worthy up in Green Bay. He played with my brother up in Michigan State. That's the one connection that that is sticking out in my mind right now.
What do you know about playing here in Green Bay? Did you play in Buffalo on the road?
Yeah, I did. I did. I think it was back in 2015. We came up here and got beat. Tough defense. Yeah. Very good game. Tough game. Buffalo played well. It was a real fun game to be a part of. The crowd was electric and stuff like that. And I think that you know, is what kind of brought me here. I understand that the Packers have very good fans, but the Bills have very good fans also. So, obviously both cities are cold. I can't get away from the cold. I'm from Ohio, and I went to Iowa. So I don't know what's wrong with me, but apparently I like it. So, like I said, I'm just excited to be here and be a part of this football team.
I know you won't say necessarily specifically, you know, what teams, but did you have other options out there that you were exploring before you decided to come to Buffalo?
I might have a few other options, but at the end of the day, it was about the respect. You know, just talking to my agent and hearing what's going on, you know, here at this camp about, you know, what they want me to do or how they like me. It was just respect. And I'm not saying I didn't have that, you know, in past years and all that stuff, but, the Bills were there talking to my agent a lot, and I felt like there was definitely a connection there.
How much do you feel that those 4 years in Green Bay and all the experiences that you had helped build your confidence? I mean, from going from a fifth-round pick to where you are right now, and how much more prepared do you think you are for this new chapter of your life now that you've got this base behind you?
Well, I think that it's just something, you know, I hate to keep talking about my whole career, but it's just something I've always developed. I've never been that, you know, highly rated guy, 5 stars, 8 stars, whatever the stars are up to now. I've never been that player coming out of high school. I've always had to work for what I've earned, and I think that this is the same example. I've had to work for it, but at the end of the day, I'm never going to be complacent. I'm never going to be done. I'm always going to work to try to be the best player I can be, and, you know, put my teammates in the best position possible to make plays and win ball games. Because at the end of the day, that's all I really care about.
Well, you talked about the fraternity of the NFL and knowing other players who talk. What have you heard about Sean McDermott and him being your new coach, and maybe some of those things that you heard that drew you to want to come and play for him?
Well, I've heard nothing but good things. Just talking to my agent, he told me just a bunch of stories about guys that he even knows, that he's talked to. He's talked to a lot of guys around the league, knows a lot of guys. They said the same thing, just how special of a guy he is. I'm pretty close with Juan Castillo. I played with his son at Iowa, and my agent just mentioned that, you know, Juan was biting at the bits to coach with Sean. So, you know, that's all I needed to hear, because I know what type of guy Juan is. I know what type of, you know, guy his son is, and, you know, it translates. So it's just a special opportunity for me, and I'm looking forward to it.
You joked about cold weather climates and you can't escape it, but do you think in some way that's kind of helped you throughout your career? Because you see a lot of these players that come from the South and they make the adjustment. And can you speak to that at all?
I guess I can't say it's helped me throughout the year. I really don't know. Am I used to it? Does anybody really get used to the cold? And then running full speed and trying to hit somebody, it doesn't feel good. But at the same time, I've learned what to wear in the cold, what type of turtlenecks, what type of material, stuff like that. So, you know, I guess that's benefited me throughout the years.
Thank you. And that is Micah Hyde, Bills news safety. I'll tell you what, Donald, we're talking a lot about these five
cold?
Moves announced.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the cold.
No, we're not talking about the cold. Big deal. I can't believe he gets that question twice about weather. People are calling up saying they want this receiver, that receiver, big splash signing. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen from here on out. This one, Micah Hyde, this might be the splash signing for the Buffalo Bills. I love this signing.
I think it's first of all, you didn't really have the money to make a huge, huge splash right. signing, right? So you had to make smart signings, and I think this one was like under the radar. He's a good player, a versatile player who can help you out in all phases of your game, especially defense and special teams, you know? So you look at some of the plays that he's making. He's playing corner catching interceptions. Yeah. He's playing safety catching interceptions. He has touchdowns in the punt return game. I mean, that's what you want, a guy who can play all over the field. I think this was a very, very quiet signing. You didn't hear any rumblings about it or anything right. like that, and they scooped him up.
And you pointed out, we were watching the video on the video side here on MSG, he had that C. He was a captain for the
yes.
Green Bay Packers.
I don't know if he was
his fourth year.
Just his fourth year. I don't know if he was a captain on the defense or on special teams, but just to be a captain in your fourth year, that's big, man. That means it's your teammates – and a team like Green Bay, who's always like yeah. right around the playoffs, if not in the playoffs, going deep in the playoffs, to really see you as the guy that they look up to, that's huge.
Talking about Micah Hyde, the safety signed away from the Green Bay Packers to the Buffalo Bills. We expect to get him here in the studio in a couple of minutes. Mike Tolbert, we're going to have him in the studio in a couple of minutes. In our auxiliary studio, our control room, we're talking free agency with Mike Jannetty. He is co-founder, editor of SpotTrack, follows salary cap issues and NFL contracts. Let's talk about Micah Hyde for a second, Mike Jannetty. Look, the Bills got a good player, and they paid pretty well for Micah Hyde, too, as it turns out. You've looked at some of your numbers, not team numbers, but some of your numbers on this signing, and he did not come cheaply, did he?
No, it was a decent-sized salary. You know, you're talking about a $30 million contract over 5 years, so you're talking about a little over $6 million a year in terms of the average salary, which ranks, you know, sixth, seventh in terms of strong safeties across the league right now. But this is a friendly deal, again, in terms of how it's structured. You know, it's an $8 million signing bonus, which keeps the dead cap low throughout the contract. You've got a $4 million cap hit this year, which is certainly doable. So it's a great player, versatile player. So the football decision makes sense, and it's pretty good business in terms of how you structure the deal.
We're out here, Donald and I, wondering, you know, obviously the Packers wanted to keep him. He's Micah Hyde is a captain, a productive player, had a good run in the playoffs. I saw that he had like 4 interceptions in a 7-game stretch last year. But the Packers have some other issues, some other players they got to keep an eye on, and they probably are, you know, feeling pretty bad about Micah Hyde getting away by a free agency, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah. The people that I follow out of Green Bay were pretty upset to see him go, but the money just wasn't there. They are never free agent spenders. And when I mean never, I mean never. They yeah. are annually absolutely radio silent for the first few days of free agency. They wait things out and try to get steals, you know, a few days after things calm down. But, I have to think a $30 million contract was never going to be in their cards.
Now, per your new feature that you have on your website, your market value.
Yeah.
Where did you have him valued before this contract?
Yeah, so we had him right about $5.5 million. So it's a situation where the Bills maybe overpaid a little bit to get their guy, but this is probably going to be their splash signing in terms of, you know, a free agent piece that they're bringing in this week.
Which, you know, and again, out here, Donald and I are saying, well, if that's their splash, it looks like a good young player with a lot of football left in him, and it hits a need with, Aaron Williams being let go, and we don't know what the safety position is going to look like. It hits a need for the Bills right away, I would think. It fills a need anyway.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a special teams guy as well.
Yep.
So, you know, if you've got to replace a guy like Goodwin in that regard, too, you could probably get some miles out of him there. So, like I said, for $6 million a year, you've got a heck of a football player at the right price, the right age.
Talking with Mike Jannetty, he is the founder and editor of SpotTrack, the website that tracks NFL and all major sports, their contract information, salary cap information. The cap is fluid, as we know, Mike. And, I just wonder if you have any sort of an update based on the incomplete numbers we have on some of these Bill signings. Do you have any sort of an inkling of where the Bills might be and how much money they might have left as far as free to use in putting together a roster?
Yeah, it's a little early to tell in terms of these players that are signing the deals right now. But, we've got them around the $27 million mark, and that does include the projected draft pick signings as well coming up. So, you know, the number's decent. A lot of that's going to go away when you get, you know, the Patrick DeMarcos and the Dukas's in and things like that. But it's a little bit over $20 million in terms of how it's structured right now. So I wouldn't say they're done at this point.
All right.
I guess that's a good thing to hear.
It's a good thing to hear if you're a free agency fan. Mike Giannini from SpotTrack with us.
Hey, Mike, just to clarify this, because I asked you this out in the room. It's pronounced SpotTrack, right?
SpotTrack. You got it. Yep.
All right. Yeah, we were going back and forth on this because I kept saying, is it SpotTrack? No, you've been saying it right. Jay, and I think I asked you, too, if it was SpotTrack or SpotRack because of the way it's spelled. So I just
How'd you come up with SpotTrack, Mike?
You know, 9 years ago, these website names, these gimmicky names were all the rage. So I was just thinking the spot for sports contracts, and I was smashing that all together into one word. But it's a little regrettable at this point. I've had to explain it more than not.
All right, Mike's going to be with us throughout the afternoon and ruin the day that he called it SpotTrack, obviously. Thanks very much, Mike Giannini. A couple of tweets on this. Eric Smeal tweets in, fans crying about big splash signings are irrelevant. Smart signings, versatile players, good character players.
Right.
That's the strategy, it would appear, for the Bills right now, and maybe the strategy they have had throughout the Doug Whaley tenure in free agency.
I keep saying, man, you don't see the teams that win on a consistent basis, they do not make these huge splash signings. The teams that lose are the ones that make the splash signings because of different reasons. But you look at the teams that are always around the playoffs, they are teams like the Packers that don't make the big splash signings. You see the Patriots make a move to Stephon, which is not usually something that they do that type of number. And I'm not sure how that deal is structured, but you just don't see that out of them or Seattle or Green Bay or the Giants. You know, those teams that are usually around the playoffs every single year, it's smart. It's about doing the right thing for the team and bringing in the right guys for the right price.
We're going to talk with Mike Giannini later on in the show about the Gilmore signing, what it meant to New England. He kind of touched on it a few minutes ago. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we hope to have Mike Tolbert in studio with us. You heard him at the podium earlier on, and we'll get him in here in studio in a couple of minutes to answer our questions. We have questions about all of his nicknames, and Donald wants to investigate his end zone dancing.
I want to talk to him about it. See if we can get him to dance in here.
Yeah, we can put it right on the hardwood floor behind us.
That's right.
We'll take a break. Come back with more. We are live at One Bills Drive on this free agent day. Mike Giannini stays with us as well. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. It is a big free agent day here for the Buffalo Bills as they bring in some of the five that they signed yesterday. John Murphy, Donald Jones at our One Buffalo studio. And joining us on the set, just fresh off his appearance on the podium at the media, we're happy to have Bills running back, fullback Mike Tolbert with us. Mike, welcome to Buffalo.
Appreciate it, man. Thank y'all for having me on.
You have a classic March Buffalo day to deal with here. A little snow, a little blustery. Donald whines about weather every day, so now you can see what he's whining
about.
You
know what's crazy, though? Like, you said you're going back and forth between Charlotte and San Diego. I'm from Jersey, so I shouldn't really complain about the weather.
You should be used to this.
It's a little different, though. It's a little different. But no, so you have a lot of touchdowns in your career, right? Mm-hmm. So like 33 rushing, maybe 12 receiving touchdowns or something like that.
I've been pretty fortunate.
You've definitely been pretty fortunate. I'm sure a lot of your touchdowns have come inside the red zone. No? Am I right? Am I wrong?
Let me say like 98% brain. It's not that big of a margin, you know?
So when you get inside the five, you must be like, Coach, just give me the ball. Just give Booby the ball.
You know what I'm saying? Give Booby the ball, let him spin so we can win.
You're making touchdowns, and after the touchdowns, and this is the part that got Donald's attention, you're known for your touchdown celebrations, your dances, right?
Absolutely. Man, I enjoy the game of football. You know, I'm like a little kid out there, you know? So I get out there and regardless if it's a touchdown that I run or catch or if it's a block, I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time, high-fiving. And, of course, I boogie down a little bit.
What have been some of your best dances, celebration dances, end zone?
The Carlton.
This is one of my favorites, the Carlton, you know. And that was brought on by Jonathan Stewart. I love that one. I love the bowling ball thing that I did in Minnesota before. I hit the Quan. I do it all. You know what I'm saying? I box, you know. So I brush them off and box on this one. So I have a good time with it.
Now, you have a lot of nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Carolina, you know, Tub of Goo is something that Cam gave you, you said. Fat Boy. You got a lot of, obviously, the human bowling ball. Where are all these nicknames coming from, and do you embrace them?
I do embrace them, you know. I'm kind of corny, but I'm one of them old school guys that sticks and stones may hurt me, but words, you know what I'm saying, can't. So I embrace every time somebody calls me out of my name. You know, the tub of goo came out of nowhere. You know, I did something in practice. I think I caught it like a one-handed catch in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam ran up to me. I see your tub of goo. And it stuck. like they just come. I think everybody that's seen me play has a certain knack and a certain word that they like to describe the way I play. All
right.
And I hear it all the time.
Is it one you like the most that you would want people in Buffalo to call you?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but my sister calls me Yogi.
Okay.
Because that was my favorite cartoon growing up.
Okay.
But that's one that I really like. Butterball, Toll Dozer, you know.
I saw that one, like Toll Dozer.
Toll Dozer, yeah. Everything, you know, I love it. So.
Not only do you get the nicknames, I'm told and read that you also do impersonations.
I can make it happen a little bit.
What's your favorite impersonation?
I don't know. You get put me on spot. I just kind of have to just go at it. And,
is it mostly teammates or famous people or a little bit of
both? I mean, I can do a little bit of everything, but it's more like a hey, Toll, do Coach McDermott. Then I'm let's go, man. Let's go.
All right, so now we know what to expect. Now we know.
That's more words than Coach McDermott has said to us in the 3-4 weeks.
I'm telling you. It's only been a short time. Trust me. You're going to hear from him.
Hey, so you guys had a lot of fun down there in Carolina. Obviously, the year you went to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you were having a lot of fun on the field, probably in the locker room, the same thing. Does that come with winning, or is that just an environment that you guys had down there?
I think that comes with personality. You know, we had a very diverse group of guys, excuse me, from myself to Cam to Luke to Greg Olson to mm-hmm. Thomas Davis, Jonathan Stewart. We had a lot of guys that had different types of personalities. So they meshed well together, you know. And we just had a good time together. Like, there was literally no drama. So mm-hmm. when you got guys that you consider friends more than teammates, you go out and you have a good time during practice and during the games, you know, it only makes it better if you're winning every game by 20 or 30 points. So.
I guess, and this came up in your news conference a little bit ago, I was a bit surprised, and you were asked this question about how much exposure you would have had to Coach McDermott being on the opposite side of the ball down mm-hmm. there in Carolina. Sounds like he's, you know, you got enough of a taste of what he's all about and how he coaches, enough to do an impersonation of him anyway.
Oh, absolutely. He if we had a lot more space in here, I could really get into it. Yeah. But we had a breakfast group, what we called a breakfast club, with myself, Fozzie Whitaker, Cameron Artis Payne, Brandon Wager. We would all get up together and go work out every Thursday morning at like 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So Coach McDermott was in there with us, and he was all, y'all in here again? Like, you in here again? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This is what we do. Get out of our way.
Right.
You know, so exposure that way, and then just being around him in the facility. You know, his wife and my wife are really good friends, so it makes for a good connection.
Being on the offensive side of the ball, he being the defensive coordinator at that time, was mm-hmm. there some trash talking between you and him?
Always. Always. We had bets, push-up bets going on. We do it all. You know, compete at the highest level, mm-hmm. you know. So
with the Bills fullback running back, Mike Tolbert, a couple minutes left. What do we call you? Running back, fullback? What do you consider yourself?
A player.
Player.
I'm a player.
Yeah.
Just call me versatile. I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna do running back. I'm gonna do fullback. I'm gonna play special teams. You know, play music in the locker room.
I'm
gonna joke on everybody. You know, so if you got a soft bone in your body, don't come around because I'm gonna roast everybody. I have a good time.
I see. At some point in your career, you played some, I guess, kickoff return.
Yeah.
So you looking forward to doing that here as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what guy don't like the ball in the hand? You know, if I can get back deep, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to see 250 pounds coming straight down here because I ain't cutting. I'm coming straight ahead. So
running straight through you.
Yes, sir. Do you see yourself as a blocking back for Shady McCoy and what other running backs would be here?
Yeah, why not? You know what I'm saying? He's a great running back. So, I mean, if that's what they want me to do and go open holes, I've done it for a long time. So that's not a problem for me.
In the news conference, I wrote this down because they were asking you about McCoy, and I misunderstood. I heard you say, I think I can push him, and I thought, does he mean he thinks he's going to take carries away from Shady?
Oh, no, no, no.
What did you mean?
I know better than that. I mean, I can push him as in, you know, I know what it takes to get to a Super Bowl. I know what it takes to have your body right and your wind right, and I know what it takes to to be on a championship caliber team. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like I can help push him in a way to where I feel like I can help him make his game better. Not that he's already a great player, but I feel like just my presence and the way that he watches me work and the way that he watches me study, you know, he can go out and not mimic it, but he sees me doing it, so he'll want to do it too. Not saying that I don't know how he prepares now, mm-hmm. but I can just be another example to how to do it the right way. So.
Now, obviously, you know what it takes and what it's like to be on a championship caliber team, a mm-hmm. team that got to the Super Bowl. You know what it's like to lose that game as well. So what was that like?
It was tough, you know. I personally didn't play a good game, you know. Offensively, we didn't play a good game. Defense played great. Special teams played pretty good. You know, it's tough. You know, it's one of those things that's hard to bounce back from. But adversity makes you stronger.
Well, I'll just tell you, you're preaching to the choir. This city lost four straight Super Bowls.
I know.
And haven't really bounced back since then. So,
Mike, what was it like? Donald asked you, you played on, you know, a losing Super Bowl team, but you mm-hmm. also kind of rode the wave when the Panthers got good. What was that like? And how did it feel to build up to that level where you found yourself in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago?
Well, it was one of those things where, like, in 2013, you know, when we first made the playoffs, we were kind of like, okay, we got something going. And then the next year we went 12-4 or so, or something mm-hmm. like that. And then we was like, okay, we really got something. Then the next year we scratched them, fought our way into the playoffs, then the Super Bowl. So it was kind of like a, oh, man, this can really, really work, you know. Obviously it didn't happen for us last year, but as of right now, I'm a Buffalo Bill, baby, you know. So let's make it work.
How does that feel to be a Buffalo Bill?
It feels great. It feels great. It feels great to be wanted. It feels great to have an opportunity to continue to follow my dream. And it feels good to be here with people that I know. You know, I don't want to go to Minnesota or somewhere, so to speak, that I don't know anybody there. You know, right. I know Coach McDermott. I know Coach Skipper. You know, I know Patrick DeMarco, who's coming here. So that's mm-hmm. going to make it an easy transition. You know, so it's something that the comfort level here is very, very exciting.
Anything you want to say to the fans of Buffalo?
Listen? Man, I want y'all to know that I'm here to work. Which camera am I looking at?
With the red line.
That one right there. I want y'all to know I'm here to work. I'm going to push everybody to be better, and we're going to have a great time doing it because I'm going to joke. I'm going to have fun. We're going to dance, and y'all going to see me on this TV show more than once.
You know what? First of all, we like to hear that because we had somebody on yesterday, your quarterback, your future quarterback, who said he does it one time a year.
Tyrod said one and done.
One and done. Hey, speaking of dancing, we talk about this a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the league cracking down on all dancing?
It's ridiculous. You know, it is ridiculous because that's how we show our emotion. You know what I'm saying? We can't go out screaming at different players. We mm-hmm. can't do certain things, but I don't know why it's changing so much. You know, the fans, everybody that I've talked to love the dance and then all the extra that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it can get to be a little too much. But
something like this.
But I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just dancing. Like, how's that unsportsmanlike? You know what I'm saying? But I mean, for people to have a good time on the football field doing something that you love, that's like a guy that sits behind a desk 8-9 hours a day. You know, when he makes a big sale at a business or something like that, he gets up and does a little shimmy. But he gets fined for doing the shimmy because he's happy that he made a good thing happen mm-hmm. for not only for himself, but for his business.
Right.
You know, so it's to me, it doesn't make sense. But
I hope you're dancing a lot this year.
I am. I just don't want to get fined for it.
hey, Mike, thanks for this. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
No problem. I appreciate y'all for having me on.
We'll get you back here. To
it. Yeah. Thank you.
Mike Tolbert joining us in studio. The Bills fullback, running back, just signed to a contract a couple of days ago. We got more to come from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, John Murphy and Donald Jones. Live at One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts.
You're a little bit nervous. I can see it. You're a little bit nervous,
tell you what,
the Michigan boys.
Yeah, I can't keep an eye on it either. Mike Tolbert has just injected a ton of personality into the building, let alone the locker room down the hall.
Yeah, and you know, talking to different people around here, you need to have some personality on your team. Obviously, it's leadership, but you need to have some guys who are not afraid to have some fun. You know, it's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to have fun. It's not just business all the time, right? You have fun playing this game. You want to come into work every day, and you want to come in here to work and win on Sundays, right? So I think it's good to have a guy like that in your locker room.
Yeah, at least here. And you just heard him on the set with us. Thanks to Mike Tolbert for joining us. Kind of following along what's going on in free agency with the Bills announcements. I guess Mike Hyde is not going to be joining us in studio. He's still wrapped up with the coaches, which is really, you know, sign your contract and talk to your coaches.
Let's go.
And
let's get to work.
We're kind of low on the pecking order. I get that. That makes sense, right?
But yesterday, it was like some clause in Tyrod's contract about the John Murphy show. Yeah. But today, we don't even matter. Yeah, is there a difference?
He hasn't looked hard at his contract yet, Tyrod. We do expect to get to the podium across the way in the Bills media room in a couple of minutes and hear from Jordan Poyer, the safety who also signed a contract with the Buffalo Bills yesterday. So that's coming up. In the meantime, we have standing by in our control room a guy keeping an eye on all the NFL. He is the source for NFL contract and salary cap information on the internet. He is a co-founder and editor of SpotTrack. Happy to have Mike Jannetty back with us. Mike, thanks for standing by. Thanks for spending the afternoon with us. We talked earlier about some updates on what's going on. Anything new over the last hour or so from what you can tell?
Nothing crazy. I think we left out the big one, though. Kirk Cousins officially signed that franchise tag in Washington, so he's looking at a $24 million salary guaranteed this year with the Redskins.
Wow.
You anticipate that'll be negotiated down or negotiated out over the next couple months?
Yeah, they got till July 15th to get that done, and there's some ugliness coming out of that front office from yesterday and today again that kind of leads itself to believe that no deal may be coming soon. So I think that $24 million might stick, and then we'll see what happens again next year.
Obviously – there are no real quarterbacks out there, so they keep franchising them. But at some point, do they just let them walk? I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think they'd probably be best to just try to trade. I mean, I know he's worth 2 foot first round picks now, but you know, the Browns certainly have that.
Right.
there's going to be movement for sure with Kirk Cousins, I think, in the next 12 months or so. And I think there'll be a lot more movement inside that Redskins front office as well, unfortunately.
Talking free agency, some of the deals with Mike Jannetty, who follows it for his website, spottrack.com. Tell me about the Eagles and Alshon Jeffrey, a one-year deal, $14 million. I don't get that on either level, the term or the money. Mike, what do you see there?
Yeah, you asked what contracts kind of baffle me, and this is one of them. Alshon was a tough guy to value this offseason because he's been injured. He really doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, which is, you know, a stat that we all kind of look at in terms of valuing players. So he was a tough value going into it, and I think maybe his market just wasn't there. Maybe the numbers he was getting, his agent was getting, weren't where they wanted to be. And Philadelphia probably came in with a home run and said, well, we'll give you $14 million, come in for a year, and then, you know, do it again next year. It works out in his favor. He's 27 going on 28, so he gets a lot of money this year, and then he gets to enter free agency next year, hopefully on a higher note than he did this year. So he'll probably benefit from this. What I don't understand is from what I'm reading, this is a true $14 million deal, a one-year deal, which means a $14 million cap hit, which is a little bit insane for a free agent to take on when Philadelphia could have easily made this a 3-4-year deal and spread some of this money out. Similar to what the Bills have done with Tyrod. All the reports with Tyrod are this is a 5-year deal. That's actually a 2-year deal. And the reason you do that is you take the bonus money and you push that out 5 years to reduce your cap hits this year. It doesn't appear the Eagles are doing that, and that means $14 million this year, which is an awful lot to swallow.
What is he? Is he a number one? Is he a 1B, number two? Like, what is he?
Yeah, I like 1B. I think that's right. I think he wants to be a one. I think the Bears needed him to be a one, and I don't think he ever was, especially with the injuries that kept him off the field. Statistically, he came in around $11, $12 million in terms of our market value for him, which is that lower first tier in terms of where these wide receivers are getting money. So 14 is certainly elite money. He's going to Philly to be an elite player. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what this means for Jordan Matthews there, because there was trade rumor with him in the last 3-4 days. And maybe that's a way they're going to try to fit his $14 million in, is to move Matthews off the team, which would be something to watch.
Hmm. Mike Jannetty from SpotTrek joins us. Hey, Mike, another receiver on the move, Brandon Marshall, the other day. He moves cross town from the Jets to the Giants, reportedly a two-year deal worth $12 million. What do you think of that deal, and what do you think of that move?
Yeah, I think it's a great deal. I think it's actually going to be an $11 million base, which is even better for the Giants. There's some incentives in there. I love the roster move for them. I love a veteran presence with a big personality to put in front of Beckham Jr. Put him with two young guys. That's a huge arsenal for Eli Manning going forward. Numbers wise, it's right where we had him. I had him at $5.5 million when he got released by the Jets. So you're talking a little bit more than that to bring him in. Low guarantees. It's a $4-5 million cap hit going forward for the next 2 years. And really, it's a one-year deal. They can cut out next year for $1 million in dead cap. So he's an older player. They got their guy for this year. They can keep him for another year if they need to. But business and football, it makes a lot of sense.
Now, obviously, you said he's an older guy. He was never really a fast guy. When you hear him speak yesterday, he said, he's looking forward to being that sidekick to Odell Beckham. So he said he feels like the team now has a number one and two number twos. But at some point, they have to pay Odell Beckham, and I'm sure he's going to get paid a lot of money. So this is a deal that's really friendly for them moving forward so that they can pay him.
Yeah, it's a win-now deal, right? So it's a let's try to win this year with our big three. You're absolutely right, though. They're going to be strapped in terms of money going forward. I've got Beckham already at $16 million. So he's already in play to be one of the top highest-paid wide receivers in the history of football. And I can't imagine that his production is going to drop anywhere. So he's going to be a ton of money. The Giants are the right team to pay that. Luckily, they do that kind of deal. So this is a fit it in now while you can and try to win. And like I said, in 2 years, it's going to be big money.
All right, Mike, we got a lot more from Mike coming up in the third and final hour of the show. Mike Jannetty, co-founder, editor of SpotTrak, the source for NFL contract and salary cap information. Still expect to hear from Jordan Poyer, the Bills' new safety, coming up in the third hour as well. So come on back. We'll take more of your phone calls, too, at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Donald and I back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
We've got the update from One Bills Drive on the second day of NFL free agency. The Bills made a couple of moves yesterday, agreeing to terms with five free agents, including fullback Patrick DeMarco, guard Vladimir Dukas, kicker Stephen Hauschka, safety Micah Hyde, and safety Jordan Poyer. We also know that they signed Mike Tolbert on Wednesday of this week. Tolbert just on the show. We expect to hear from the podium and safety Jordan Poyer coming up in the next few minutes here on the show. Five moves from the Bills, maybe more moves coming. Stick around. You can always follow them on our show or on BuffaloBills.com. Cleveland Browns still waiting for the other shoe to drop. The Texans and the Browns made that deal. Brock Osweiler goes to Cleveland. That will take Osweiler's $16 million guaranteed salary off Houston's books. Cleveland also gets the Texans' second-round pick next year and a sixth-round pick this year. The Browns expected to trade away Osweiler as well and eat a portion of his salary just to get that second-round pick next year. The Browns also today let the RG3 go, quarterback Robert Griffin III. Tony Romo now expected to be traded rather than released by the Dallas Cowboys. Both the Broncos and the Texans are considered likely trading partners for them. The Washington Redskins fired general manager Scott McLaughlin yesterday, a little more than 2 years after hiring him. His departure stunning because of how quickly he and the team reached this point. The Redskins hired him in January of 2015, and they've won the last couple of years, including an NFC title. The Bears released quarterback Jake Cutler late yesterday, ending their eight-year relationship. Cutler thanked the team in Chicago in a statement released by the Chicago Sun-Times. And the Buffalo Sabres in action tonight and tomorrow night, a home-and-home series with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tonight's game in Columbus, 7 o'clock face-off. Jack Eichel on an 11-game point streak. With one more point, he'll tie for the longest point streak in the NHL this season. And tomorrow night, the Sabres in Columbus back at it at KeyBank Center at 7 o'clock. And that's the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones talking about free agency. I'm going to cough here, Donald. Sorry about
there
that.
There you go.
Free agency. We want to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Call here from Paul in Kenmore. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, John, I'd like to ask you and Donald a question about that Brock Osweiler.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He was with Denver before he went to Chicago or wherever.
Houston. Houston.
And why doesn't Denver pick him up from the Browns? They could get him cheaper than Tony Romo, and he did have success.
Maybe they don't want him.
Yeah.
Maybe they know who he is and think they can do better.
I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. And a matter of fact, I tweeted this out, and that whole Brock Osweiler situation. And I said, listen, this is – you see teams reach for quarterbacks, and then they regret it. And this is something where Houston reached for Brock Osweiler, and they regretted it. And they did anything to just get him off the books. Please just get him off our books. And Cleveland took him. But, I mean, it doesn't seem that Denver won him. There's a reason why they didn't pay him, you know. And
yeah.
They let him go.
The Osweiler deal is weird, and we want to dive into this a little bit here with our special guest who's been standing by. We thank him very much, Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack.com, the salary cap and contract go-to source for many of us in the media, even some teams. Mike Jannetty is in our studio or in our control room the other way. The deal, I'm still trying to get my arms around it, Mike, and I get, you know, the concept of the Houston Texans trying to move away from a mistake and shedding some salary cap. I guess I don't understand what the Browns stand to gain here other than really a second-round pick next year. It seems like an awfully steep price to pay for a second-round pick, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think what's happening here is the Browns have accumulated so much cap space that they basically have house money. So draft picks are more valuable to them right now than, you know, low-end free agents in terms of trying to rebuild their roster, especially as they're trying to turn those draft picks into better players, like, for instance, Jimmy Garoppolo or quarterback of their future. So I think what they've done is they've really just bought themselves a second-round pick. What I don't really understand is part B here, that they're trying to flip Brock Osweiler and turn it into another pick and try to shed some of that $16 million off their cap because they're in need of a quarterback. So unless they're able to do that and bring in a guy like Garoppolo, you know, and even if they draft a quarterback high in the draft this year, why not give Osweiler a run through training camp, see what he's got? You know, certainly he didn't look good, you know, the end of last year with Houston, but he's probably better than anything you've got on your roster right now. So what I don't understand is why they're not giving him at least a play through the summer on their team.
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. They haven't had a quarterback. They've drafted a quarterback every year for, like, the last 50 years,
yeah.
And it just hasn't worked out for them. But when you look at it now, I think they have, like, 26 picks in the next 2 years. I think they have maybe 9 top 65 picks in the next 2 drafts, you
right.
know. So at some point, you know, you have to build out a roster. Are we talking about on draft day seeing them possibly start to really make some trades to get some players for draft picks?
Yeah, I have to imagine that's coming, even probably before the draft. I think, you know, everything I read yesterday was that this was a position to move and try to get Jimmy Garoppolo from the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically it's take your pick. You know, what draft picks do you need to get it done? I don't know that it gets done. I don't know that New England moves on from him. But certainly there's going to be a plan B and a plan C if that doesn't happen, because I can't see them using all those draft picks, even though they do need to rebuild pretty much the
right.
entire roster.
A couple of other things about this that I guess I'm still, again, trying to think through it, Mike. I get the cap implications on some level, and as you mentioned, they're buying a second-round pick, Cleveland is. That's real money. That's cash. So are they that flush with cash, and is their owner, Jimmy Haslam, that flush with cash that he can essentially spend, what, $8 million,
straight
maybe
cash,
as much as
homie.
$16 million on a second-round pick? Isn't that out of whack a little bit?
It's a unique look at it because, you know, we get wrapped up in the cap hit and the football side of it, but, right, there's a payroll to it as well. And if you're going to pay the guy $16 million, why not at least let him try to be your quarterback, in my opinion?
Right.
But the thing is, a second-round contract for 4 years is going to cost about $16 million. So in terms of how that looks, what you've done is you've kind of doubled yourself up with a second-round pick in terms of the $16 million. They clearly have the cash to spend. And in some instances, they probably need to spend cash because they really don't have any major players left on their roster in terms of what's come from last year.
Hey, Mike, this is something that came up in the office the other day. Is there a floor? Like, do you have to spend a certain amount of money?
Yeah, there is. There's a cap and a cash floor. So it's a sliding value that hasn't been established yet, but there's movement every year. And there was a leeway when the new CBA signed. You could kind of flex it a little bit, but that's now set in stone. So there is a number that you have to spend to, and I know the Raiders are one of the teams that will have to spend. That's why you're hearing a lot of talk about them extending Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, right. Those kind of players. They are low in terms of cash payroll right now, so they are one team to keep an eye out for in the next coming months.
And as you said, on the Browns situation, well, first of all, let's get into Garoppolo. First he's going to be traded, and then the Patriots won't trade him, going back to last week, and apparently everything's on the table as far as New England is concerned. How does that look for Cleveland? I mean, is this all an attempt to engineer a trade to send some of their, you know, vast number of draft picks to New England for Jimmy Garoppolo? You can almost see it from Belichick's perspective, but is that really what Cleveland's doing here, do you think?
It certainly seems that way. And unless they're doing it for Kirk Cousins, I can't think of another player out there who you'd really put this much effort in terms of high draft picks for right now at the quarterback position, obviously. The thing is, trading with Bill Belichick, trading with the Patriots is almost never a good trade for you. So even if this does get done, you know, how much are they going to have to overpay? And, you know, at the end of the day, is Jimmy Garoppolo really the quarterback they want him to be? So it's playing with fire, and it sounds like they're bringing a lot of firepower to the table. But I don't know that it's the right move either way.
Man.
Are the Browns reckless, Mike?
They have been. They have been. And a lot of people thought yesterday's move was a turn in the right direction for them. A lot of people like this move, kind of paying for, you know, the right to – draft higher because that's how they rebuild their roster. Look, rebuilding through the draft is phenomenal if it works for you, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the cheap route. You keep your caps low, you keep your cash flow low. It's certainly the best business way to go. But, you know, even looking at the Bills' recent past, it's not always the most successful. You know, every so often you have to go out there and make a free agent splash, and they're doing both, honestly. The Browns are doing both.
I don't know if it's the cheap route if you're paying, you know, $8, $16 million for a draft pick. Huh?
That's right. Those high picks do add up, you know, but it's a lot different from where it was 6 years ago when you had Matthew Stafford's making $70 million out of the
gate.
So.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Now, how much money do they have left on their cap?
Yeah, so I've got a few contracts still to locate some of the bigger offensive linemen, but they're still looking at $90 million in cap space based on what the contracts I've put in to date. So they've got an absolute ton of space. They've got, like I said, house money, and they can be a little reckless right now, so they've afforded themselves that opportunity.
This all, of course, engineered by Paul DePodesta, right, and Sashi Brown, and you know, the baseball approach, baseball the MLB guys. Moneyball approach.
Right. But at the end of the day, you have these baseball guys, analytics guys, making business decisions, but you still have to make football decisions. You have to draft well. So 5 years from now, if they end up, let's just say they use all of these draft picks, they don't trade away anybody, and they still have a horrible team, then it's going to be like, what did you do all of that for?
That's right. How good is your scouting team, right?
Right.
How good are the people inside of your organization in terms of rebuilding this roster through the draft? Because, you know, it's easy for a guy like me to sit here and put the numbers together. You know, mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of people that could make that work. But, you know, it's about getting the right talent, the right fit for your system, and they have not done a good job of that in recent years. Right.
We won't know the answer this week, I wouldn't think, as to whether this works. It seems like, you know, the Browns have at least one more move to make, and that will be analyzed and discussed by all of us, guys like you too, Mike. But as you said, in the end, you have to have a team. You have to line up and play, right?
Right, and that's what I'm reading right now is the backlash of, sure, they made a great accounting move, but they still don't have the roster to go and win this year. So, you know, establishing that quarterback, establishing the team around him, you know, it looks like they're about to let Terrell Pryor go, so their number one wide receiver is going to be out the door. I'm just not sure they have the firepower right now to go and contend this year and maybe even not next year, depending on how this draft goes.
Speaking of Terrell Pryor, because I keep getting tweets, we keep getting calls, people asking, why don't we sign Terrell Pryor? Is he a true number one receiver, and what is his market value?
He's not a number one in the essence of how a Sammy Watkins is a number one, right? So he's not going to go out there and catch 15 balls for you. He's versatile. He can do a lot of things. He's maybe more along that Tavon Austin line in terms of a guy who can do a bunch of things for your offense and your special teams. But his numbers are surprisingly productive. When I went to value him this offseason, he was one that stood out. He's a hardline $9 million per year guy, which is second tier, you know, wide receiver two money. So, you know, is that an option for the Bills? Probably not at that price based on their cap space. He's certainly a need. You know, that's a need for the Bills right now, a tall receiver who can kind of move around the field a little bit, get across the middle as well. If they can get him at a discount, that's probably a guy the Bills could look at for sure.
All right, Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack.com. We're going to check back in with Mike as he monitors the free agent market, analyzes some of the deals. We still want to talk to you about the Stephon Gilmore deal in New England, and we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. We can hear from you as well. The phone line's open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or via Twitter. Our Twitter poll has been up for a couple of hours now with more than 2,100 votes in so far. We think that the first wave of Bills free agency, maybe even the bulk of Bills free agency, is complete now with the signings, the five announced yesterday. What position should the Bills target next in free agency? On our Twitter poll, 2,100 votes. Overwhelmingly, three-quarters of you, 77% say wide receiver, 9% say offensive line, 9% say depth on defense, 5% say quarterback. Are you surprised that everybody's looking for the receivers now?
I'm not surprised. I think we've talked about it here on the show, and, you know, national reporters have also talked about this draft being so defensive-heavy that it makes sense to possibly bring in a wide receiver, bring in, like, offensive line depth. And the Bills right now, we keep talking about it. You're going to have to find guys. If you can find them at your price, that is a great thing for you, you know. But you have to find a number two, a number three wide receiver. You can. There's some wide receivers in this draft as well, but I'm not surprised that people are saying, you know, this is where they feel the Bills should go next, because you don't have anybody except for Sammy.
Let's take a few phone calls on this issue. Johnny calling from Rochester. Johnny, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great.
Good.
Yeah, I think the Bills should go after some wide receivers. Maybe they can bring Justin Hunter and Brandon Tate back, give Cardale Patterson a shot on a one-year deal, and draft Corey Davis with that 10th pick.
Yeah, I mean, all of the names that you just threw out there, I mean, they could all fit. If it's at the right price, then, yeah, you can make that work. People keep saying Cardale Patterson. I think he's a good fit here. I think he would be a great compliment to Sammy Watkins. He does still need to prove that he can play wide receiver, though. You know, there's a reason why he wasn't playing wide receiver in Minnesota. He was just really doing special teams for them, you know. So that's because he's a bigger wide receiver. He has speed, but the route running hasn't been there for him. He hasn't been able to separate from DBs. He hasn't been able to show that he can play wide receiver. And so they had to just put him at kick return. Oh, by the way, he is a good kick return specialist, right? So if you bring him in here, you have a guy now that can play kickoff return and possibly be your number two or number three wide receiver.
I'll be interested to see what becomes of Justin Hunter. You mentioned you saw a report earlier that Hunter was at a visit schedule with the Patriots. Now, look, the Bills don't have the money, and nor should they, you know, go to the wall to sign Justin Hunter. But as you pointed out, he did show value and on-field value. Here's what he is. And former second-round pick, obviously he has the pedigree to be a pretty good NFL player. Maybe we're seeing his career resuscitated here.
He definitely has the pedigree. The Patriots see that he's a guy who can score touchdowns for you, especially in the red zone with his height and his jumping ability. And I would think that the Bills – feel the same way about him. I feel like they just want to make sure they get him at their price. And so that means, you know, allow everything to kind of die out and see who's still out there first. Can you get another guy who – there was a reason Justin Hunter wasn't starting in this lineup last year either, you know. So I think that's something that they're looking at. Let's see who else is out there before we decide to bring Justin Hunter back.
And, by the way, regardless of Chris Hogan or whoever else, you can't jump just because the Patriots show interest.
Oh, no.
You can't deviate from your value that you've put on Justin Hunter just because New England might be interested.
That would be the worst move you can – you know, like, oh, they're going to get him. We got
to
sign him.
You got to be ready to lose him.
You got to be ready to lose him, you know, just like they did with Stephon Gilmore.
A call here from Dan in Kenmore. Dan, welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi. Just a couple comments. Mike Tolbert just seems like the perfect fit for this team. And the Micah Hyde signing, I think, was a steal. That was the steal so far for the Bills. It's basically the...
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I think we feel the same way about Micah Hyde in particular.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, he's a good player, and we talked about it. He's versatile. He's a guy who can play everything for you. He catches interceptions. He can play corner. He can line up against your best receiver. We keep watching, for people who are watching on the MSG side, they keep showing the highlight of Micah Hyde lining up one-on-one with Golden Tate, you know, who is Detroit's best receiver, their number one receiver. So if you have a guy who can play safety, oh, by the way, I can line up with your number one receiver – That is a huge plus, and I feel like, yeah, it is a steal, and it happened quiet. It's a good sign for the Bills moving forward.
I want to get more, and I want to get to Mike Giannitti on this too. Mike Giannitti from SpotTrack.com, who is in the building with us over in our control room, talking about some of these deals as free agency moves along. And we talked about Micah Hyde and the numbers, and the Bills clearly, you know, what I think, Mike, you had him as the sixth or seventh highest paid safety in the NFL based on the numbers you have. Can you evaluate Micah Hyde, the deal, from a league-wide perspective? Because, as the caller just said, he's calling it a steal. I don't know if I'm prepared to say that just yet, but what's your evaluation of the Micah Hyde signing and the Bills, what they paid for Micah Hyde?
Yeah, I think that the way it's structured lends itself to be, you know, in the Bills' favor the whole way through. Like I said, it's a low signing bonus, low cap hits. He's a versatile player. But in the same regard, you know, safeties, especially strong safeties, generally aren't higher paid players. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at numbers like $30 million and $14 million guaranteed, and you're thinking, it's a pretty good deal for what sounds like a really great player. He's a great player. He's at a position that doesn't pay very high generally. So it's great structure. It's a good cash flow for him, I think. It's a good cash flow for the Bills. I wouldn't call it a steal just because it generally fits into the strong safety mold.
Right. And you said you had him valued right somewhere around this number. You said it was like maybe the Bills might have paid maybe $1 million more than you had him.
Yeah, a little less. I think I had about 5.5 on him, and he's a little over $6 million according to our numbers. So it's right around where it should be.
We talked about this when you were on the show with us a couple of weeks ago, Mike, on SpotTrack. An added feature this year as NFL approached free agency was your market valuation. I wonder how much of the last 24, 48 hours have you spent, you know, gauging what you had figured with what the actual numbers are, so that, you know, kind of checking your math, I guess.
Yeah, right. It's kind of a fun way to do that. We look back and kind of see where the numbers were, and then if I'm really wrong, I kind of figure out why, right? So I try to read about, you know, how players are valued in terms of their agents and things like that, and I'm always trying to evolve this formula going forward. So it's a mathematical formula that takes stats into play and takes some analytics from the advanced sites into play. So there's kind of a lot to it. We've evolved it over the years, but we're always trying to get it better. And, you know, we've been pretty close on most of the big contracts this year. So hopefully we've got it to a point where we can really trust it.
Mike, you ever getting into any arguments with agents when they call you and they ask about their player's value?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, my player is a lot better than what you're saying is worth.
So I'll tell you this. Since we've launched this market value site to the public, to the website, generally it was something I did behind the scenes, and I would do like a one-to-one release on it. But since I've made the list public, I've heard from quite a few agents, you know, through a phone or email. Most pretty pleased with, you know, the way I've evaluated their player. Some not. And I've had pretty good back and forth. But, yeah, there's been a few players, notably, that the agent thinks I'm way off on, and they kind of want to know how I got there, and then I kind of want to know how they're getting to where they're getting, and we kind of go back and forth on that. So,
what you're doing in releasing publicly on the website, you would think smart teams in the NFL and all sports have been doing that for a while, right? Compiling their own data and doing the comparables?
They are, and when I did it, I was reluctant because I didn't want to be stepping on toes, right? I didn't want to be taking private information that agencies might be putting together and maybe doing that on my own terms. But really, that's what I'm doing, right? I'm taking my take on it and putting it out there so that there's a conversation that can be had. And I will say this, you know, I'll put a release out there to Twitter, to Facebook, and I can always tell when it's liked because, generally speaking, the agent will retweet it.
So instant feedback.
That's when I know I've kind of hit a home run.
Yeah. Mike Giannitti from SpotTrack. We'll get back to Mike. We still want to talk about Stephon Gilmore. I know all of us want to hear more about that. In the meantime, we want to talk about the Gilmore contract with New England. Let's take a call here from Jack in Rochester. Hi, Jack. Go ahead. You're on the air. Jack, are you there in Rochester?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Well, maybe this is a little off topic, but I wanted to get in a comment about Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
Because you listened over the last so many weeks of people going back and forth on Tyrod, you know, people think he could change his game. People think that he's stuck. I think one of the problems we have is if you look at the litany of Bills quarterbacks we've had, you know, setting aside Kelly as the franchise guy, they've either been kind of people that they came out of the gate really strong and their game fell off, you know, like the Bledsoes or the Fluties or the Fitzpatricks. Or we had a bunch that they looked really promising, but they had these flaws in the game. But they never got over their flaws. Mm-hmm. You know, the J.P. Lossmans and the Trent Edwards and the E.J.'s, people like that. In terms of a quarterback who looked promising that it was flawed, and actually overcame those flaws to become solid, you got to go way back to, like, Joe Ferguson. And not many people have a memory that far. So, you know, the organizational memory is such that, well, you know, that kind of thing doesn't happen because we just never saw that before.
Hmm.
Yeah, you went way back before my days.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going back to the 70s. But your point is interesting. You know, I heard an interesting point with Jeremy White on the morning show on our flagship in Buffalo WGR today when his point was, you know, look, we have a pretty good sense of who Tyrod is after 2 years, 29 starts. We're going to get it by the end of this next year. He's probably going to be around two more years at least here in Buffalo, certainly this next year. We're going to have a great idea who he is. And it's the central question that Donald and I wrestle with a lot on this show. You know, what's the ceiling? How much better? We don't know. You know, there are things in his game that you would like to see him do better. We devoted almost the whole show to it yesterday with Tyrod on the air with us yesterday as well. But you don't know. And maybe he has maxed out. I don't think anybody can say that with certainty. I, for one, am excited about getting the chance to see, knowing what you know, we don't. Maybe his ceiling is here. Maybe his floor is right here too. Mm-hmm. We went through all this yesterday. He doesn't turn the ball over. He throws a good deep ball. Adds a lot to the run game. It's a good teammate and leader. So the floor is good enough to get you to a certain level. The question with Tyrod is, can he get better? And none of us have the answer to that. I think a third year will go a long way towards answering that.
I'll just say this, man. Get some receivers around him, some guys that stay on the field, and then we'll see. I mean, we know who he is, but get some guys around him that make plays. And then if he's not able to get it done for you at that point, then, okay, yeah, now it's time to move on. We need to get a quarterback in here. We have the pieces around the quarterback. We just don't have the quarterback that can get it to those guys. So get some weapons around Tyrod, and let's talk a year or two from now.
One more call in this segment. Mark calls us from joins us from Tonawanda. Go ahead, Mark. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. I had a question for Donald. You just mentioned wide receivers and a little bit on Stephon Gilmore, the question Murph brought up. But, you know, I'm thinking of how we are going to address that through the draft. I really like that kid, Corey Davis. I kind of just watched some YouTube highlights. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be between him and Mike Williams. I wanted to know what Donald thought about that. And then, Donald, I had a question for you about Stephon Gilmore. And, you know, my friends... you know, we kind of go back and forth, and we all kind of agree that he just seemed to play soft, like not that hard-hitting defensive back. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know kind of what your feelings on that and maybe how the Bills address that and the differences between a guy like him and the guy we just picked up from the Packers in Hyde. So I'm just going to hang up and listen. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure.
So when you look at Stephon Gilmore, you can say, yeah, he wasn't a guy who was known to come up and make the big hit. You know, people said that about Deion as well, you know, and look at Deion. He's in the Hall of Fame. To be honest with you, corners, in their minds, you have some guys that are willing to come up and make hits. They grew up that way. You have other guys that feel like, listen, I get paid to cover wide receivers. In this passing league, I get paid to cover wide receivers. He had five interceptions, whether they fell into his lap or whether, you know, whatever happened, he had five interceptions, which is why he got the money that he got. He is a good corner. You would like to see a corner who can come up and help out in the run game. Hopefully, you know, Kevon, Ron Darby will do that. Anybody else who they bring in here, hopefully they will get that done for you. You look at a guy like Micah Hyde, he is a guy that will come up and help out in the run game. But, you know, he plays safety as well, right? So that's he's a strong safety at right. that, you know. So that's kind of his game to come up and help out in the run game. You're talking about two totally different players. And then you asked a question about Corey Davis and Mike Williams. You know, I've said on the show many times, I like Corey Davis over Mike Williams. I just feel like he's more NFL ready. I feel like he's ready to run routes for you now. He's ready to – you know, get down the field as well. I do feel like he's probably faster than Mike Williams right now in his career. Mike Williams is just a bigger body who can box out and catch balls over people. So I like Corey Davis.
Back to Gilmore for a second and the way he played physical. Will he be able to get away with that?
He won't get away with that.
With a great, powerful Bill Belichick on the side?
No, not at all. And we'll talk about his contract coming up.
Yeah.
Because if he starts to do that out there, and that contract is structured the right way, they'll get rid of him.
We are going to talk about Gilmore. We are going to hear from Bills safety Jordan Poyer, one of the free agents they signed yesterday. He's going to step to the podium in a couple of minutes, and we'll carry it for you live. Plus, more time for your phone calls and another check-in with Mike Jannitti. Doing a lot here today on the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Big day, free agent day today. The Bills introducing three of them, including Jordan Poyer, safety, who comes over from the Cleveland Browns. He is at the podium over in the media room right now. Let's listen in to Jordan Poyer with the Buffalo media.
I'm here to play where they put me, you know, play where I fit. You know, I'm excited about the opportunity, whatever they have me, whatever they want me to do. You know, I'm willing to do it. You know, I believe that I could return punts and I could, I mean, you know, it's every, I think every athlete believes they can do everything out there. So like I said, I'm just here, you know, wherever they want to put me and wherever they think I'm suited best. I'm excited for it.
Jordan, what advantages and maybe challenges might there be, or is it an advantage to be coming into a new system with another fellow safety, and the way you guys might be able to work together, and the fact that you and Micah have a common bond together with us, a mutual friend?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that, you know, Micah and I, it's weird how we met, because Christian Kirksey was my teammate out in Cleveland, and they both went to Iowa together, and so I had gone out to San Diego two off seasons ago, and I met Micah out there, and he's a great dude, great football player, and I'm excited to work with him. I'm excited to play alongside him. You know, I think we can both learn a lot from each other. I've watched a lot of his tape. I think both of us, you know, like I said, versatile players, and he's a great athlete. He's a great player, and he's gonna help this team win football games.
When did you make the decision to switch to football full-time? Reading your bio, it says that baseball was maybe your first sport growing up.
You know, that's a long story, but long story short is just in college, I was playing both baseball and football. I was doing a lot. Grades were kind of slipping up, and it was my junior year where I decided to hang up my baseball cleats and that I'd continue to pursue my dream of playing football in the NFL. You know, if it wasn't pursuing my dream of playing football in the NFL, it was definitely going to be the MLB, because, you know, I was damn good at baseball. And you can go back and look at my stats. I was damn good at baseball. I was an outfielder. You know, I just love the game. I love this game. I love the game of football. I love the work that you put into it, and seeing the reward from it. You know, just being able to stand here in front of you guys and talk to you guys. I mean, it's a blessing as itself. You know, I worked really hard my whole life to just be standing here. And so, like I said, I'm just really excited about the opportunity to be out here in Buffalo and continue my career.
And, Jordan, you coming from Cleveland, a place that you know that they've been long suffering there, they're still waiting. Here, 17 years, you know that about the playoff drought. So, from the standpoint of going from that club to this club, other end of the lake, how do you put that in context? Like, you want more out of this game than just the opportunity to play. You obviously want that ability, you know, to compete for a championship. How do you sort of see going from that club to this club and where that opportunity stands? How good of an opportunity do you think it is for you?
For one, I think it's a shoot. I think this is a great opportunity. I mean, this is one of the best opportunities I think I've ever had in my whole entire life, for sure. You know, coming from Cleveland, being out there the last 4 years, not winning a whole lot of football games, you know, it's tough. You know, I was telling him earlier, you know, you play this game, you know, you play to win. You put so much effort and time and into your body in the off season, and to not get the results that you want, it's tough. You know, it's hard to stay motivated. But, you know, coming out here, you know, it's a new, like I said, it's a new opportunity. It's a new, you know, it's a new coaching staff. It's a new faces in the locker room. It's a new opportunity to go out and compete and win games. And, you know, that's what I'm here to do.
Were you aware that, you know, you and Micah were kind of coming in at the same time?
Or? I was not.
No?
No.
And what, when you found out, what was your reaction?
Like I said, Micah's a great football player. So, you know, the Bills got a damn good football player in getting Micah Hyde. And I'm excited, like I said, to work with him and play alongside him and build a relationship with him and win football games. You know, it's that's the main thing. That's why we're all here. This is to win football games. And so whatever I can learn from him, you know, I'm going to take it all in. And, you know, it's like I said, I'm just going to keep saying it. It's a great opportunity to be out here.
And when it comes to how familiar are you with what Sean McDermott has done and what his scheme might be, Is this brand new to you too? Or?
It is a little bit brand new. You learn a new defense almost every season you come into the league, but all defenses almost are all the same. Just different terminology, different, you know, verbiage, different, you know, hand signals, whatever it is. Like I said, I'm excited to learn the defense and to you know, just have the opportunity to be out here and compete and win football games.
The visits that you made here would be two, right? For 2014 and this past season as a player with the Browns, right?
Actually.
So, what were your takeaways from playing in this environment?
Unbelievable. I mean, I don't even know where the fans come from. I mean, I flew in and I was just like, where is everybody? You know, but they come. You know, they're out there, freezing cold, man. It's unbelievable, man. The atmosphere is loud, and that's one of the reasons why I was so excited when my agent had told me about Buffalo, was because of the fan base and because of you know, just the atmosphere out here, and you know, it's a football town, and just like I said, I'm excited to put that red, white, and blue on. I promise you that the jerseys are the best jerseys in the whole entire football league, so excited to put those on, and like I said, just excited for the opportunity to win football games.
What was this process like for you, being able to hit unrestricted free agency and kind of, you know, the uncertainty that comes with it, but obviously, you know, there's some excitement there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time going through something like this. Definitely really anxious. Didn't really know what was going to happen because of my situation last year, being hurt week six. I just kind of left it in God's hands and knew that, you know, there's going to be opportunity somewhere, and wherever that opportunity was that I was going to go. And, you know, I couldn't think of a better place to come than Buffalo, man. It's a great opportunity. You know, I've already met, saw the tour here, and it's a great facility. They're doing new stuff to it. It's going to be fun. I'm really excited about it.
Jordan Poyer, Bills safety, just signed to a contract yesterday, one of the five sound yesterday. Only played six games, started all six games for the Browns last year, went on injured reserve. So it's interesting. We're sitting out here listening to him, Donald, trying to figure out where he fits. Obviously, Micah Hyde, you would think, would be the big free agent signing at safety. But, you know, with Poyer, I think we're going to have to wait and see how it plays out, how the roster shakes out, where he winds up.
Yeah, that's exactly what you have to do. It's just like we had to wait for Tyrod's situation to come down. With Poyer, you have to wait and see how the roster shakes out over the next couple of days, couple of weeks, what happens. And then, you know, you start to talk about him and where he fits in. You know, he could be a player who comes in here who you expected to be a special teams guy, who comes in, ends up a starter. Yeah. Ends up that Zach Brown, that Lorenzo Alexander for you, you know. So that's all you can hope for, something like that. I don't know what type of contract that they gave him, but, you know, you hope that he comes in here and balls out.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk some more, and we're going to get one more check-in with Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack.com. And come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We've covered a lot of territory today, heard from a lot of the Bills' free agents, three of them at least today. We had Mike Tolbert on set with us, the Bills' new running back fullback who just signed to a contract. Mike Tolbert talked to us about whether he wants to be called a running back or a fullback.
Yeah. Just call me versatile. I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna do running back. I'm gonna do fullback. I'm gonna play special teams. You know, play music in the locker room. I'm gonna joke on everybody. You know, so if you got a soft bone in your body, don't come around because I'm gonna roast everybody.
Gonna roast everybody.
Gonna roast everybody. I hope those guys are ready.
You know, you had a teammate who reminded me a little bit of that in terms of the humor, Tashard Choice.
Oh,
I tell people was one of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my life, right? Wasn't he?
Tashard was like,
he was
hilarious.
Funny. Yeah.
Man, Tashard was hilarious, man. He would say things and you're like, just stop. You know? Like all the time. It didn't matter what was going on. Just always, you know, high energy, laughing and you know, you need guys like that in the locker room. You really do need, because guys are having a bad day. You're having a bad day. You're sitting there at your locker with your head down. he comes up to you and he's like, "Yo, what's wrong with you?" And he starts joking, and you're like, "Come on, man! Like, you have no choice but to laugh with him."
Choice
you
know? Was hilarious, and he had a great laugh himself. He did, which guy, right? He did. He was unbelievable.
I remember his favorite term was "gross." He used to call everything gross.
I get that same kind of vibe from Mike Tolbert. Hey, all afternoon long, we have benefited from the expertise and the insight of Mike Jannetty, the co-founder and editor of SpotTrack.com, the website that deals with NFL contracts, salary cap information, contracts from all over professional sports. Mike, with one more segment with us right here for a couple of minutes. He's in our control room. Mike, first of all, thank you very much for lending us your expertise today. I think, I hope our listeners learned a lot. I know I certainly learned a lot from listening to you talk about these deals.
No, you bet. It's good to be here.
Hey, the one thing we haven't touched on, mostly because the information is still kind of hazy. So the Bills lost Stephon Gilmore to the Patriots, reportedly 5 years, $65 million, with $40 million guaranteed. What do you know about that deal, concrete information, and how does that compare with some of the other cornerback deals that have been struck so far?
In terms of the structure, I don't know much. That's the basic details are really all that's been reported at this point. So, you know, that's a lot to swallow right there in terms of, you know, Gilmore for 5 years. But it's very unpatriots-like, so we'll have to see what the structure lends itself to in terms of how much guaranteed is in the first couple of years and things like that. But loose details for now. In terms of other cornerbacks, $13 million a year, it's going to rank, you know, 6th, 7th, which is ridiculous. But that's a lot of money for a guy coming off a couple of down seasons in terms of production. But, yeah, it's about a sixth average highest paid cornerback in football, and really in terms of guaranteed money, he's right up there with Josh Norman now.
Wow.
Now, I hear you talk about that's ridiculous, $13 million a year, something that we were talking about off air out there in the office or in our back room over there. Just the difference in, I know you cover NBA and MLB as well, just the difference in these NBA and MLB contracts compared to NFL contracts.
Sure. So we're talking $13 million for a cornerback, right? Well,
yeah.
With these new cap figures coming out for the NBA, we're looking at numbers that we've never seen before in professional sports in America. We're looking at five-year contracts over $200 million. We're looking at average salaries of $40 million a year. If LeBron takes a maximum deal with Cleveland next year, he can have a $51 million salary in 5 years. I mean, we're talking just absurd numbers for these major stars if they're signing maximum contracts. So it pales in comparison. I mean, that even with baseball, the baseball contracts used to, you know, reign supreme, and you know, even right now, the highest paid baseball player is $32 million. Mm-hmm. So it's which is still double a football salary. But you know, the NBA salaries are definitely ones to keep an eye on. You know, we'll be keeping up with those on the off season as the free agency comes about with them. But the numbers are going to be really out there.
Hey, Mike, can you tell on the traffic on your website, SpotTrack.com, which of the professional sports generates the most traffic and the most interest?
It's football and everybody else.
Really? Yeah, that much?
Always has been. But we've seen a lot of uptick with baseball and basketball. They're probably 2 and 2B in terms of the traffic. And then hockey's a distant fourth.
I want to get back to something we started the show with in the first half hour, talking with you about the Tyrod Taylor deal, which is now a day and a half old, almost 2 days old, and the flexibility that the Bills have afforded themselves. Can you just kind of go over what you think of that deal? And I guess, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you thought it turned into a pretty good deal, favorable deal for the team here.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. Like I said, it's a five-year deal to cut down to two for cap purposes. You know, it puts him at about $15.25 million a year in terms of average salary, which is right above Mike Glennon, if you can believe that. It's the guaranteed money's lower, so, you know, it's more of a pay-to-play kind of thing. He's going to go out there and have to prove himself for 2 years. It's going to be a two-year contract, I think. Like I said, though, we're looking at a deal this year where he's getting a lot of the cash now, a little bit more cash next year. If he proves himself this year to a point where they want to turn this into a long-term deal, they can easily push out the bonus money that's there from this year into a long-term deal and do this right for the immediate future.
Doug Whaley is fond of saying, you know, in his job, he's got to be light on his feet. That's his quote. And when I look at, and not just about Tyrod, obviously, but when you look at the deal they struck with him last August, what they've done here today, and what you sort of project as to what might happen in the future, it sounds like he's been extremely light on his feet when it comes to dealing with his quarterback here.
Yeah, I think that goes back to the conversation we had with Donald about Bart Scott and long-term contracts.
Right.
I think that's how GMs need to be right now. They need to you know, don't do too much to lock yourself in for long term. You know, make everything fluid. You know, and always be ready to adjust. You know, like I said, you never know when that injury's coming. You never know when you're going to have to move on from a player, things like that. So you want to have flexibility with your contracts, flexibility with your roster, and certainly I think Whaley's done a pretty good job of that up to this point.
And last thing, Mike, I want to give you a chance to, if you would, offer a disclaimer on some of your numbers, number one, and number two, talk about the website and how people can dive into some of this information you have.
Sure. Yeah, so we've been around for about 8 years now, and it's been growing and growing, you know, at a pretty good pace. We've been able to expand in multiple sports. You know, like I said, we're doing MLS contracts, NHL contracts to go with the football and the big sports. But, you know, we're tracking not just salaries and cap hit figures, but we're doing that on a team level so you can see how teams are spending in terms of their annual salaries. We're doing free agent projections. We're doing market values, as we talked about. So we're kind of projecting how players are producing in terms of their statistics going forward. We write some occasional research articles to really kind of show how the numbers kind of come together in terms of each sport. And, you know, where do I get the numbers from? There's reports out there. There's some confirmation reports from league sources, from agents, from things like that. So it's a long process for me to go and find the information to confirm it like that, but it's by no means NFLPA-approved information.
Hey, Mike, thanks for this. It's been great to have you here today. Next year, we'll get you in here for a couple of days for this segment. I appreciate this.
Anytime, John.
Mike Jannetty, SpotTrack.com is the website, SPOTRAC. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Our Entercom board op today, Ryan Gates. Production assistants from Gabriella Mas, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, James Donovan, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back here Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. Back Monday at noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.